First time I said that in 2025, and here we sit on the 8th of January. My first official live stream back was yesterday with John and Nicole, and I always let Nicole run those because it's her thing she put together, and that's just one less thing I have to do. But we are back and on the attack, finally, in the new year. This is episode 3606, and we're going to kick off with a bang. I've got Andy McCann of CrossFit Garage, and he'll be on in just a minute, and we're going to be talking about his five pillars of health. The 60 easy versus the 75 hard, the benefits of a carb-restricted or even carnivore diet, a carnivore challenge, and a hell of a lot more because it is the new year. This is where everybody's going to get in shape. Like I tried to tell you guys, Andy tried to tell you guys, Nicole Sauce tried to tell you guys all the way back on Thanksgiving, the time to start is now whenever now is. But if you didn't start now when now was then, now you can start now that now is now. And if that makes sense to you, well, congratulations. Anyway, with that, what are we going to do today? We're going to talk to Andy, but before we do that, we are going to talk about our sponsors of the day. Sponsor today, number one today, is JM Bullion. Have you checked the price of silver lately? They sent me an email today, and I clicked on it, and it's this really cool silver round, and I looked at the price on it, and I thought, that seems like it's got a bit of a premium on it. I had not checked the price of silver in quite a while, and because of that, I didn't really realize like it's gone up quite a bit. It's up in the 30s. And so silver is a great investment. It's a great way to hedge against inflation. And you should get your silver and or gold and other precious metals like platinum from JM Bullion. Why? Because they will charge you less money than the more well-known silver and gold houses like Lear Capital and Apmex and Monex, all of whom have asked to sponsor the show and have been told no, because I can't talk to like somebody really in charge there. Like, I'm their marketing director. Now, okay, I need to talk to like a CEO, a president, whatever. Michael Whitmire is the president of JM Bullion. I just had a problem with discount code not being honored. I sent him an email, boom, corrected. And basically it was, thou shall correct it. And that's what I'm looking for in a partner and a sponsor of the Survival Podcast, somebody that can make things like that happen. And they give you that discount, they ship free, better pricing, and I can talk to the president anytime I need to. Why would you buy anywhere else is my real question for you. Next up today, the Wealth Steading Podcast with John Pugliano, where you can learn to grow your wealth like you grow a garden. That's what John will teach you. And John's one of us. He's a ham radio operator. He is a prepper. He's a gardener. He does all the things that we talk about. Plus, he's an exceptional money manager. You need to check out his podcast. Comes out about once a week. It'll be 10 to 15 minutes long. It's totally worth your time at wealthsteading.com. And with that, let's go ahead and bring our special guest back to the Survival Podcast. He's been here a few times before, and you hear from him almost weekly as a member of the Expert Council. Because one thing I can say about Andy McCann, he's not a fucking piker like some of the members of the council, and he always gets to me actually more content than I can use at times. Andy, welcome back to the show, brother.
Hey, man. Dude, I get so much out of you guys. I'm just happy I can give back. I've been a Steeler for so long. Not a Pittsburgh Steeler, although I was that for a while. I was a Steeler from you guys for years. And, man, I'm just glad that Bruce Sofshi introduced me to y'all. And I don't even know why. Oh, I think you put a call out. Hey, guys, step up to the challenge.
Yeah.
Give back. And I was like, all right, I should do that. Dude, some of the stuff that you have said, like, for example, Jesse, hey, hire your Bitcoin consultant and let him help you out.
Yeah.
Back at 20K, he and I were working together. I would have never done that, gotten the Start9 server up, any of that stuff, without just doing some of the stuff that you and your guests and the methods, just that, all this is about. So it's been awesome. It's been a great journey. I think it's been almost like a year and a half or something. So anyway, it's been awesome. Thank you very much for having us out here. And let me share my junk. You know I can talk. So
yeah. So anyway, you came to the last workshop, did a great presentation, talked to a lot of people. I think you got a lot of great feedback, and that kind of fired you up with doing some stuff and introducing some more things. And one of the things that come out of this is you call it a 60 easy. I wonder if that actually started with me and then went through one of my people and got back to you, because I remember when Nicole did this and she said she was doing a 75 hard, and I said I might do something like a soft 60 or a 60 soft or something. And it sounds awful familiar, but I think it's actually a really cool idea. What is 60 easy, and why would we do something like that versus just, hey, it's 75 hard?
Sure, yeah. I threw it
and
in
maybe
the
tell chat. People what a 75 hard is first, though, because some of them have no idea what we're talking about.
That's valid. Okay, so this fellow, Andy something or other, I've got his website right here. I'll put it up there. Andy Frisella. He came up with this idea of 75 hard, and essentially it's it is for people like me that will be like, hey, I'm just going to do it and just I'm just going to stop eating sugar. I'm going to stop eating crap, whatever. You're that type of person who can do it. And he says for 75 days, do these, I don't know, like 20 things that are kind of hard. Some of them are easy. Go work out twice. That could be easy or hard. Go read 10 pages. It could be like Dick and Jane. It could be anything, right? And do this. The problem that I don't like is, hey, if you miss your streak, you have to start over. And that's, for me, okay. But for what I'm realizing over time, I am built differently, and I like this hard, strict stuff, but not everybody does. And so when we're at the fall workshop, it probably was from you guys. Somebody said it, like 60 mediocre. I was like, I don't know, 60 easy, that sounds good.
Yeah.
So the idea is to take those precepts and then put them in place in a way that you could actually do this. So here's what it is. The five.
I mean, it's just pillars. For people while you're talking here, I've got the guy's website up, and it's a picture of the guy that conceived of it. And it's a before and after 75 days. And the transformation is remarkable. I'll give you that. But the dude that you see on the left, the before, is not an out of shape guy that's just like getting off zero.
Right.
And that's what I was always saying is like, yeah, if you're already into fitness and you're like, I'm going to challenge myself. Fuck yeah, this will work. But and some people did get off zero with it, and good for them. But I also want maximum participation, and I think that's what you're saying.
Right. Yes. That's the part that I think that I was missing in your group, just like being in person. Guys, dude, we're going to talk a lot about showing up. Show up. You miss the context of your life and the things you're going for when you're not actually there. So being there and talking to Dave, David, Chad, man, there were so many of you, Laura, I mean, everybody that was there at the event, helping me see the steps that you need that aren't like it's going to be unique for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, it's the most principle. Most of the time, most of the people will mostly do it this way, but not everybody.
Yeah. 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 And I think your interaction, for you personally, I mean, if you don't do that, most of the people you're interacting with have come to a CrossFit gym that you own. So that person's mind is already beyond the person who's like, you know, I really need to do something, but I don't know what.
Right. And so I hate having problems out there that I can't solve. And I'm really trying hard these days to not solve the problems of my teenage daughters and my college daughters anymore. And that's hard. So solving these problems are great. So there's problems out there, and I've got free solutions for you guys. I got things you can do all year long to basically do what Jack has been telling you to do since 2008. It's not rocket science. It's just boiled down into a kind of maybe easy to follow format. So 75 hard is good. I know a lot of people who've done it, and a lot of people have changed and repeated it. They've done it multiple times. So yes, it's a play on words, 60 easy, and it's there in the link. But basically there are five pillars of health and fitness, how you eat, sleep, move, think, and connect. And then there's 12 months. So there's one thing to do each month. That's 12 times five is 60. And then you just do one of them. And it doesn't have to be complicated. It's literally just pick something and do it. Stack it if you want. There's no rules. It's not like if you skip, then you have to start over. Like you got to insert more quarters. And it's easy stuff. It's not things that are like, you have said this. You in your own life have said this. Your spouse has said this to you. It's stuff that you should be doing anyway. So it's easy. And we can like hit a few of them. So you can see how easy this junk is. But if you stacked all 60 by the end of the year, you're going to be a different person.
So, I mean, I think, you know, if you want to like at least give yourself an incentive not to fall off, then maybe like if on day 40 you fuck up, then you add a day. But let's not go back to zero, because that's so fucking demotivating to people. Right. What it makes me think of, and I've always hated these shows, like The Biggest Loser and shit like that. They bring all these fat people on. You got people that are 400 pounds, 300 pounds, whatever, and they're literally at the edge of like losing a foot if they don't do something, or crashing their kidneys, whatever. Like, these people need fucking help. They went through all kinds of shit to get on that show. They get on that show, they commit to doing it, and they get used in like first week. Oh, you didn't lose you lost the least weight. Get the fuck out of here.
Right. They hammer them for it.
What I would want to see out of a show like that is nobody gets fucking kicked out. We keep working with everybody all the way through, and then we look at the collective achievement of everybody that was involved. And yes, somebody's going to do better than others, but this idea that, like, oh, you lost, so fuck you. And a lot of that kind of feels like it came through with this dude's original plan.
Right. Well, and so...
And I'm not knocking it if you want to do it.
No, and he was going for shock value. Yeah, so, right. Like, you will say things that I am thinking, but I'm not... I want to bring people along, and you're trying to, like, easy hack. This is going to come up later. Jack literally did a journey of low-carb keto journey, I've got the link here. I'll post it up there for you, but...
Yeah.
Just go listen to it.
Yeah.
You're going to be like, damn, right? So it doesn't have to be hard. Someone has gone before you. You want to bring them along. And there was one part in there that the reason I say this is you said, I think I lost a few subscribers by cursing. So what? I'm like, that's right. You want shock value. I'm not going for shock value. I want to bring along value. Which way is right? Both of them.
No, because we don't live in a world of three channels and PBS anymore.
No. But,
right? If you don't like me. And you don't like Andy, go find somebody that will help you get where you want to go. Even if you're going the same place we're trying to get you to, if somebody else makes you feel better about it or just resonates with you better, go for it. Like, I remember literally when I said that, like, I remember being a kid and it being cold out like it is right now. It's fucking snowing and shit. And the one channel was like my dad wouldn't pay for a rotator. And I would have to go out to the fucking antenna, like the outside big antenna, with a monkey wrench, a pipe wrench, for those who don't know what a monkey wrench is. And he'd be like, turn a little more right, a little more right, up, back a quarter inch. All right, come inside. And then when they wanted to change the channel again, they'd send me back out there, right? Those days are over.
Like, yeah.
Soon after that, we got cable. We had 190 channels or whatever. Now you have a gazillion options.
Yes. And back in the... Back in the 80s, all of us young boys would sit squinting at the TV waiting for those wavy channels of those couple. Yeah, I mean, like, oh, I saw it. And you guys know what I'm talking about. I'm not going to say what it is.
The Kung Fu movies on Saturday night, right? Like, that was UHF. You had to go to, like, 33 or 21 on the UHF dial and then twist the
UHF.
Yeah, the coat hanger antenna. But you remember the other thing? There's nothing to do what we're talking about today. If you sit that close to the TV, it's going to burn your eyes out. I haven't met a single person who had their eyes melt burn out by a Magnavox or Sylvania yet. I think that one was like our parents and grandparents did the best they could, but that was up there with the permanent record, right?
Right. And that's going to stick with you forever. Who cares? No one's not going to stick with you for the things that we say, like, okay, so I'm a parent of four. I have said some stupid stuff. Like, I'm going to turn this car around. Like, really?
No, you're not.
Yeah, you say these things like that's going to burn your eyes out. If you stand, I don't know, out, you can't swim after eating. Like,
there's
I don't know.
Starving children in Africa that would love to have that food. That was a dumb one with me. I was like, give me a box.
Oh, what was the lady who only did the show?
I'll send it right over. Yeah. Or the other thing, again, we're off topic, but it's fun. I thought you were where when you didn't come home? You were lying in a ditch.
You're
always lying. For some reason.
What ditch?
That's not.
What? Like the culvert where the rain goes, or like the ditch where like people go to die? That ditch?
You're
I don't know.
Lying in a ditch. Like every kid that was not home was never anywhere but in a ditch.
So there was a time when we lived in Wexford, Pennsylvania. And it was always a weird time in our lives. But my dad let us go feral. And he's like, yeah, just show up when I whistle. And so I realized that he had trained us to a dog whistle.
Yeah.
And me and my brother would come running home from wherever we were, and the dog would run with us.
Yeah.
And we're like, what is going on? But we were basically, I mean, minus the flea collar, we were just wild dogs out in the woods doing stupid crap.
And life was better that way. All right, let's get back.
Yeah, it was definitely different. I don't know, better. I was kind of dumb.
Do you want to hit just a little bit of what 60 Easy is before we go on to the five pillars of health and longevity?
Yeah, for sure. So let me just throw out some ideas of what it is. So basically, it's the five things of how you eat, sleep, move, think, and connect. You should pick the thing or ask your spouse or your friend, what do I suck at, and fix that thing first. But, and then you've got these five things, then you've got the months, and you just do what's on there. You can do them in order, you can stack them, you can whatever. But like, for example, January for eat, it's start eating around the edges of the grocery store. And I mean, if you don't know why you should do that, Jack, why should you eat around the edges of the grocery store?
Because the shit that comes in boxes is in the middle, and that's the stuff with all the toxic ick, the seed oils and the multisyllabic shit and the red number 12 and blue number 87 or whatever the fuck, FDA, yellow 5.
So buy your stuff on the outside, and I don't even care if you're buying bread. Buy it. It's going to be fresher. There's less ingredients. So
yeah.
You know me. I'm very tangential. So I've been on this carnivore journey for about 6 months. I'm going to tell you Evan's story. I'm going to tell you where we are. One, it is true. You can out-eat carnivore. I got fat on carnivore, so watch out. Let's come and we'll talk about it. But I think it comes down to the ingredients that you're eating. So eating on the outside of the grocery store is going to restrict the number of processes and chemicals in your food. And I think that might be the answer to this whole thing. I don't know yet, but I think that's it. Okay.
So we're going to talk about that a little bit later.
Yes.
Because I have a feeling that's the case too, at least to some degree. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. So sleep, January. Avoid screens 30 minutes before bedtime. I mean, duh. Right? So it's easy. It's what it's supposed to be. You're like, dude, this is easy. But think about if you did this and you kept going. So like February for sleep, create a relaxing bedtime routine. So that's the key right there is routine. I mean, who shouldn't have that? You make routine for your kids, make a routine for you. Okay. Move. January. Take a 10-minute walk after you eat. That's not only good for moving, but for digestion. Think. January, do one act of kindness for someone each week. I mean, that's actually part of 75 hard, but I think it's like do something every day. But So I'm not saying you should do this, but and my kids get embarrassed when I do it and we're going to the grocery store. If there's a cart out, a lady's putting her junk in the car, I will stand there and ask her, hey, would you like me to take this in? Before, I would just stand there quietly and they're like, Dad, you're super creepy. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I'll announce my intention.
Why are you there, bro?
All right. But it's something
you're like smiling too. So you got this goofy gay haired skinny dude standing there smiling at you. You got to be like, yeah, I don't know.
We're in a public place. It'll be all right.
Though it's his daughter's, or is that his harem that I have to join?
Right, for sure. So yeah, don't be creepy. I'm mistakenly there sometimes in a funny way. Connect in January. Practice active listening in a conversation without interrupting. Man, dude, that's been my fault for 50 years. I'm trying really, really hard now not to solve problems and to just listen, especially to the ladies in my life. Like, I hear what you're saying and those sort of things, but it is really, really hard to reflect and to pass the ball back rather than hammer and slam dunk your story.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. One more from Connect. So Connect is going to be the best thing you can ever do. February, reach out to an old friend and catch up. I mean, Facebook was great for that. Remember when it first started, you found all your old friends? Do it again.
That's all it was, too. Right? I remember when there was not a mention of Donald Trump or Barack Obama or anybody on Facebook. It was all, bro, I remember you from high school.
Like, that's it, yeah. Well, and so I had a neighbor who's a divorce attorney, and he's like, dude, Facebook's been the best thing for my business. He didn't say it quite like that, but I mean, old flames connecting. So
yeah.
60 easy. The intent is it's easy. You can stack these things month after month. You can let it go. You can pre-read it. Oh no. And then do more of them. I don't care. The intent is the psychology of winning. Build up small wins. Start off your sales guys with a small quota so they can build it up and then lure them into the sucker punch of a big one next year. Right? So nice and easy. Find some wins. If you guys read through that and you have questions, let me know. It should be pretty self-explanatory. You can hit me, andy@crossfitgarage.com. That'll get to me.
So I think we have a pretty good grasp on that, and then people can look up exactly how to do it. You've got that available for them. But let's talk about now five pillars of health.
Yeah.
What are the five pillars of health, and why are they essential to building resilience in your life? Because that's what I teach is resilience.
Right. So here, this is the presentation that I did. I'll throw it out there. You guys can actually go watch it.
You can share your screen if you want to.
I'll just post it there. They can jump it up. But let me see if I can figure out how to share my screen. I got too many things happening here.
Bottom center should say present.
Yeah, there it is.
Click share that, and then screen. You can select tab or a PDF.
I got my camera right in front of it. Share screen. The entire screen.
No.
This one. Okay, this is going to give you tunnel vision. Let me pull it up first so I don't freak people out with a window in a window. Okay, so this is a five-pillar presentation. You guys can go through this. I've already linked it. You can do this. I love to give away all the spoilers. Again, it's how you eat, sleep, move, think, and connect. I'm not going to go through this whole thing. The spoiler is, it's if you simply start working on connection now and eat carnivore, you're going to have like the majority of this thing knocked down. I have never seen something so effective as trying to do this carnivore. I literally have a son who is 170 pounds, 6 feet tall, come home from college, fell to 118. I thought he was going to die. There's no amount of money that I would have spent, nothing I would have tried. And this, for him, I know it's anecdotal, but the lion diet in the mentor we got for him, I'll talk about that later, saved his life. He's 140 pounds now, and he's back at college. So he's on the mend. Dude, guys, you need this stuff. For this community where you're building that self-reliance and being able to show up and do your thing, I'll pull up a picture of that. It's pretty funny. If you're carrying your big backpack of stuff, you're probably the weak link. I don't think you can carry all that stuff out of town, right? So you need to look at yourself as one of your preps. And these are the five things that move the needle. I mean, wealth is one of them. Joe Pugliano has that, not me. So you talk to him about that or just listen here and buy some Bitcoin over time via Swan. But you want to tackle these things now while you can. It's unfortunate. There are things, these five things you can control, but there are things you can't control. For example, a 17-year-old boy is going to be fitter and more awesome at all this stuff than everybody.
Yeah.
And so you also can't affect where you were born, who you were born from. So there's genetics, there's environment, there's things that just happen, right? I mean, nowadays with RFK Jr. and his stuff, did you or did you not get shots? I mean, that could be, they're like, I mean, this dude is saying on, I mean, I take a lot of it with a grain of salt, but he's like, hey, in my practice, I can see it. There's like 1,000% chance you've got something if you've got any type of shots. I'm like, what? So maybe we're all started off on a bad foot. But there is those things you can't change. You can be a victim or you can, you know, do like you said, you know, try to solve it. Check out the hook, you know, do a thing. And that's what this is about. And this is kind of today is these are some free things that I was able to put together. One thing is paid, but a bunch of free things for you to do in a couple of these areas. And really pick the thing that's not going well for you or ask your spouse. They'll tell you. Let's start with that first. Right? What would Dorothy say? Jack, yeah. You really need to.
I listened to this Jewish rabbi one time, and people don't know this, but there is definitely groups within Judaism that believe in reincarnation.
Oh.
The way that, similar to the way that Buddhists do, but they don't necessarily think you start as like an ant and then work your way up. But they do believe in the reincarnation of the soul, and they believe that at some point, basically, then you move on. So it is somewhat Buddhist-like. But his contention was that the reason that you and your spouse give each other such a hard time is if you marry the right person, you are destined to improve each other. And that's why by the time you're two old people, you just sit on the couch and both of you are content because you've done what you can for your spouse.
Oh, man.
I don't necessarily believe that from a spiritual standpoint, but I did find it very interesting, and it could not be exactly the way he put it, and it could still be true that's our purpose, to improve each other.
Dude, there are so look, in my own way, I am very religious. Very believing. I am not very religious. I grew up Catholic, which made me never go to church.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's just how it is.
I went to Catholic school and got thrown out.
I don't think I ever did that. I didn't finish CCD, so I don't know what happened.
Well, it was intentional. I didn't want to be there anymore.
Hey, right? So you do the thing. I'm doing the thing that gets me kicked out. So let me excel. There are some things, like I now get feeds, and I don't know if it's because my kids say stuff or whatever, but they're saying things like, hey, only wear underwear woven of one material. And that's like a Bible thing. I'm like, what? And this lion diet, it's basically eat biblical. I'm like, I hate saying it that way. I mean, I don't hate saying it that way, but it throws some people off. Of course, I live in Georgia. Georgia's the Bible Belt, so it's a local call for us to get any help. But I don't know. Lion diet.
Well, I would say it. There are other things you could eat, but the things you're not supposed to eat, you won't eat. So that would technically make it, but like, no one says you have to eat all these things.
No.
The biblical diet is do not eat these things or in this way.
Right.
And then that way, if you didn't do those things, you could pick and choose from what's left. Yeah, I guess. Okay.
So Yeah, guys, this the five pillars are important. I'm gonna Jack has the entire workshop. I love this. You didn't even have to go. You just go and watch everything. You can do it online. You can watch it in right now. Here's his playlist. I just posted it for you. Watch that stuff. I think I'm the hot and sexy guy with no shirt on, so watch out. It may turn you gay, so just be careful.
You must be posting it to your channel because we don't see any of it.
Oh, snap.
You were posting here. See, you were, and then you went away. I don't know what you're posting now.
It'll come up in a minute. It's on the right side of your it's in the chat. I see me chatting in your stuff.
Nope.
No?
I'm telling you, you're not doing it there now. Are you doing it in StreamYard or are you doing it outside of StreamYard?
I'm doing it in YouTube, and I did it for StreamYard in case you wanted to.
No. If you want to do it in StreamYard, you should be able to look over to the side right now.
Yeah.
And see the chat.
Yeah.
You see the chat. And then down at the bottom, you could possibly see where you can set it to you if it recognizes you.
Got
you
it.
Must have because you were there. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, anything that you guys need to find that Andy mentions today will be in the audio notes. There's a link in the video notes below if you're watching the video. And when we're done with the live, about 30 minutes after we're done with the live, if you click that link, you can go over there and get all the resources that Andy's talking about. And if you go there right now, you'll get absolutely nothing because we're live and we're not done yet. Anyway, you mentioned connection and you said it's really impactful, but in your notes, you also have it's the hardest pillar to achieve.
Yes.
So how can people start to foster deeper relationships today?
Yeah. So, I mean, hey, the easy one is learn yourself and then find your groups. So as I said, with this community, I've been a just listen guy, which is totally fine. You can listen all you want. But show up. I mean, there are opportunities for those who show up to like your fall workshop that people continue to chat on. We're connecting all the time. There are people that I literally texted with today saying, hey, I'm on the show. Do you have anything you want to bring up? And I totally forgot to bring it up. But they're like, yeah, say this and this and that. I was like, all right, let me do it. So you're finding people that are like you. And so here's the thing that they've shown. Of the five pillars, you need them all. You need money too. And those that lived the longest, the thing that they had abnormally more of than everybody else was connection. And so it's deep connection. It's 2 a.m. I'm stuck somewhere. Yeah. Could I call somebody that would literally come and pick me up? The water, the cold is – the outside is so cold, it froze my water. It busted a pipe. Can I call somebody and they would drop whatever they're doing and come over to do a thing? If the answer is no, man, you really need to start connecting. And don't be afraid of who you are. I mean, I am a nerd-loving, fire-starting, exercise-adoring. I mean, it's a weird combination of things, but yeah. I've got people at the gym that I play D&D with. I've got people at the gym that I go do adventure races with. I've got board game guys that – you know, we just talk life. It doesn't have to be everything in the circles that overlap. It's just some of the Venn diagram. It doesn't have to be perfect. Perfect is the enemy of done. Get some people, and they're going to introduce you to more people and get involved and show up.
Yeah. What you're making me think of is we have these places called Blue Zones, and some of that's mythological and it's been exposed. But we do have places where there's a lot of really old people and they live a really long time. You can't really object to it or say it's not true. Parts of Okinawa, southern Japan, Greece, Crete, there's some places where this happens. And you always see this little old lady and she's living in a little thing, you know, and she's in Greece or Crete. She's living on sheep yogurt and, you know, berries and fish.
Right.
And then the person that's in Okinawa is living on like purple sweet potatoes, shitloads of pork and bitter melon. And so people think, well, I'm going to eat what they eat. Right. And usually I'm not going to stop eating Krispy Kreme, but I'm going to add pork and bitter melon or sheep yogurt or something. And then I'm going to live as long as they do. But whenever you see the actual like little mini documentaries and they show this little old lady, where is she living? She's living in some village. There's houses everywhere. There's people everywhere. She's out tending her garden while she's doing an interview. People are like, oh, hi, Martha. Right. Like people are waving to her, talking to her. You know, that woman can't possibly need a thing without that community being there, like, what do you need?
Right.
Like,
that's exactly
the matriarch of the village. Like, you don't think connection has something to do with that person still being around when they're 94 years old and they're still tending their garden? They're still walking up the hill every day. If they're like in the Far East, they're going to the temple every day, walking up the stairs. So they're active and connected.
That's it. That's that. So I should have gone find this stat. I say it all the time. I don't really know the stat. I just sort of make it up. But the kiss of death for us guys who work all the time is retirement. You get the watch, and they're like, all right, see you next year. And then you die.
Yeah.
But what happened? It happened. He had a heart attack. He died of boredom. He died of whatever. His wife gave him too much antifreeze. I don't know. He was too annoying.
His wife gave him too much antifreeze. I mean, what I noticed, like my grandfather on my mom's side, he lived fairly late in life. He was in his 90s when he passed away. He eventually passed away from bone cancer, which is scary as shit when you think about it. But he lived a long time and he lived active. And he retired from the military. He did 30 years as chief warrant officer. Then he worked in, I don't know, some sort of government contracting. But by the time, like, I was old enough to remember, we were living in Jacksonville. He was chief of security for a college, fairly large college called Jacksonville University. And he did that for like 10 years. He didn't need any money. And he didn't work that hard, but he had something to do. He was out talking to people. They wanted an old dude, right? This is before every college had its own police force. He just had security.
Right.
They wanted like a dude that could, you know, hey, guys, calm the fuck down. Chill. They didn't want somebody going in there busting heads or shit like that, right?
Let's escalate this real quick.
They wanted de-escalation. Right?
Everybody get tasered. It's fun.
He did that, and I got to see a lot of great college basketball when I was a kid. Like, I'd watch him, like, JU play, like, DePaul and stuff like that because he would get free tickets. And we could fish down on the river right off the boat dock for the sculling team and shit. It was really cool. When he even quit doing that, he took care of his lawn like it was a fucking golf course. He was out. That's why I know more shit about, like, they call them whirly bird sprinklers, the little ones. I know every fucking thing you can do with those. It's ridiculous because of him. Like, he would, like, that water's not falling exactly and move it forward and then adjust this little fucking thing and then let's, like, spread it out a little. Okay, now I got it, right? And
give me your Phillips.
Why don't you, like, he had money. I'm like, why don't you get one of those? Back then it was new, you know, you just push a button and all the sprinkler. right?
Yeah.
Like, he always had something to do. And even when he eventually moved back to Pennsylvania, he had something to do. And after my grandmother passed away, we were really worried about him. But he found somebody to spend his time with.
Right.
And I think that was a big part of how he made it to his 90s, because this is a dude that, like, lived through the Depression, served through World War II, 30 years in the military. And at a time when you served in the military, like, life was a lot harder to serve in the military in, like, the 30s, 40s, and 50s than it was in the 80s and the 90s. And the 80s and 90s are a lot harder than it is now, from what I understand.
Yeah.
And yet he lived that long.
It's so yes to all of that. They have purpose. They have connection. I'm going through this with my dad right now. He finally retired after, I don't know, like, 80 years of sales. And finding that purpose, he's got a lot of kids out. Well, that sounded weird. He's got kids who have grandkids and all that.
Yeah.
And so he has a lot of things he can do if he wants to. But watching him go through this, he wrote a book on StoryWorth. It's like 52 questions. You answer them, and then you can make a book out of it. And in there was a lot of, hey, at 78, it's really hard to make friends because most of them are dead.
Yeah.
And then the other ones are on oxygen and other stuff, and they can't really do anything. You're like, all right, that's interesting. I don't live in that world, so I don't know. But listen to those that have gone before and do a thing. So let me back this up and make it a tad bit more how can I use this connection every day? All right, so you guys probably know by now I own a gym, CrossFit Garage, here in Woodstock, Georgia. If you're in Woodstock, actually, let me know. If you listen to Jack's show and you're in, I'll give you some free time. Come try this thing out. It's a free gift for you guys. Let me know. There are people that have been at my gym for 10-plus years. And I have asked a couple of them, and they're really well off. I was like, hey, I know you have a home gym. I know you've bought things from me that I was getting rid of, and you bought your own new stuff. Why don't you guys just use your home gym? And she said, Andy, every time I see someone leave to do the home gym, when I bump into them accidentally wherever, they're badly out of shape. They don't do what they do. So here's the tough thing. When you have the ultimate inconvenience, my garage, my basement, you say, I'll do it later. When you have community and people to go along with you, hey, and a fall workshop that I'd like to get to, you plan on it. You buy tickets for it. You get an Airbnb. You sleep in your car, whatever. You do the things to show up because you care about those people. So join something. I mean, in this case, I'm talking about a gym. Join a gym. Meet those people. They're going to want you to be there. If they're like me and they're an individual gym owner, they need you. It's not like a Globo gym, like a Lifetime or whatever.
Yeah.
They care less. They just want you to pay and never show up.
Yeah. Globo gym. Bonus points. We're not going to tell you. Anybody that knows where that reference is from, you get bonus points for being here today and knowing where Globo Gym is from. Globo Gym and the Average Joes.
So it's a thing. Anything works well with that. Any type of connection that you can bring to the game will keep you more accountable to the things you want to do. I meant to say this earlier, and I'll throw it in here for you guys now, but we've got the 32 at-home workouts that you can do. There's no gear involved. You can do that at home, and that came back in the 2 weeks to slow us down. We made that up so that we could keep people moving. I'll get that link to you. We have GarageFitness.online, which is currently free because Bruce and other people said, hey, I've got a home gym and I don't use it. Where's my community? I'm like, all right, let's do it. You know, show me a problem. So GarageFitness.online, you can sign up, choose the alpha tester. It gives you 2 free months. You can sign up for that over and over and over and over. There's no limit. It all works, but it's a broken thing. We're trying to make it grow. It's a minimal viable product. And so do it for free. It's got great programming, and you get a free account in the system called Wattify. It's awesome. There's no cost to you. Guys, I'm trying to remove the obstacles, help you find the people. I'm a survival podcast guy. Okay, now I do Garage Fitness Online. We can meet and talk and laugh about how bad the burpees were. Great. Keep each other accountable.
Boy, that's important. And you mentioned the low-carb journey playlist. And I think what's cool about that for people to be encouraged is you're looking at me like this. You're seeing me from the waist up, basically. But you can look at my face. And you can watch over about 70 days.
Oh, yeah.
Information is like the last video in that playlist and the first, it looks like two different humans. But what you're hitting on right now is why I did it in the first place. I didn't do it to get a bunch of traffic. I didn't do it to go viral. I did it to be accountable. I was like, I need to be accountable. And I can't think of a group of people like other than my family that I am more accountable than to my audience that pays my mortgage every month.
Right.
These are the people that I am most accountable to. So I will announce my intentions and demonstrate my actions in front of them. And if I start fucking off, I'm going to have to come back to these people and be accountable and say, I fucked up. And the other thing that was cool about that is I started that off. I came from the Dr. Eads, Michael and Jan Eads School of Thought Protein Power Plan. And a week into it, I'm going keto. Like I was learning as I was going on that. Right. Like it wasn't like I knew what to do. It was right. Like I knew that low carb would help, and then people started getting on me about keto, and I'm like, fuck some keto. And then I like looked into it, and I'm like, no, not fuck some keto. Let's do some keto. Let's try this, you know?
So, hey, maybe it's not for you. Maybe it's not for everybody. I get it. And I know we are back on the outline. So we do have an outline. We just tangent too much. That's the 80s. The 80s introduced the tangent and the hyperbole. Yeah. So I ended up on this route because my dad – who I'm genetically a lot like, he's missing a nipple. They took it off because they're like, hey, something's wrong with you. Just take it off. He's missing a lot of his skin where they just like divot it out. Eventually, he ended up having to go through prostate cancer treatment. Guys, it's not – they don't tell you everything. You are less endowed, and you can't hold it as much. So, I mean, I knew this is in my genetic future. And every diet that's out there says get off of sugar, and everybody says cancer eats sugar. So I was like, you know what? Whatever. Let me get off of sugar. The only way I could do it is if I gave up grains too. I love grains. My wife makes bread. We make it ourselves from the bread beckers here at home. My son will now actually eat sourdough because it's fermented in this Crohn's thing, so it's working. I don't eat it because when I do, I really want sugar. So I had to get rid of my entry drug. But basically, I'm eating – under 100 carbs a day and not really even knowing what I'm doing because it's not part. I'm not really upset with my weight. I just was trying to not eat sugar.
Yeah.
Then found this. Holy crap. I wish I mean, I've been listening for a long time and I remember keto and carnivore, but I don't know why it didn't hook into me.
Yeah.
So guys, I hope it hooks into you and you at least give it a shot because it's a game changer. It's literally the life hack connection and carnivore. It's the life hack.
Is there like maybe the biggest misconception about carnivore?
Oh man, there are.
And how people like, you know, it like challenges at the beginning of like actually accepting, because like it goes against everything that the establishment's told us. And I, when people tell me that, I'm like, that's why you should probably listen. But I also understand that there is this, if you tell somebody who doesn't know what we talk about, think of healthy food, or an image that pervades healthy food. They're going to see like a sea of amber waves of grain, like, you know, the song and fruits and grapes and oranges and all. And so they know the donut's bad. But, you know, one of the things I do when I'm not drinking, which is most of the time now, is I will make my version of a mocktail, which is basically tangerine Topo Chico, which is they're like $10 for an 8-pack, but you can make it yourself by buying Topo Chico and a little bit of tangerine juice. And it's like a half an ounce of tangerine juice to a big glass of Topo Chico sparkling water. So it's like a carb. It's like one carb. But because of that, you know, I actually read labels and like a 16-ounce thing of orange juice or tangerine juice is like 50 grams of sugar. They say carbs, but you and I know what that means, right? And what the way I also put this the other day, I put this out on X, and I said, listen, go out in a field, go out in a forest, go out in a swamp, go anywhere you want in the world, look around at what you can gather. If you know what to look for, you'll find shit. This is what's ancestrally appropriate for you to eat as far as fruit and vegetables.
Yeah.
Right? You will not find, growing in the wild, all by itself, a sugar bomb orange. They don't exist.
No, I love that.
We made that thing. We created that thing. Like, so I'm not opposed to eating carbohydrates. I'm opposed to the volume they're consumed at and the misleading idea that this is healthy.
It's the scientific need to drive the bliss point to such a decimal place that you can't stop eating it. And that's just wrong.
Yes.
That's wrong. Okay, so yeah, misconceptions. And I'm going to – okay, so I'm going to weave a story. I am not Donald Trump, but I'm going to weave here. Okay, here we go.
All right.
So Evan drops down to 118. He's like, we go to the doctor. Doctor says, no more monkeys jumping on the bed. And he also says, I'm going to give you this biological. You're going to take it every 3 months. It costs $200,000, and I don't have insurance because I work for myself. I'm like, what? And they said, possibly it works. 50% of the time it doesn't, and we have to cut your colon out, and you get a colostomy bag. And you'll die 10 years sooner. And he's like, we laugh, and he's like, Dad, that does not sound like an option.
No.
Quick story. He finds the Lion Diet, McKaylee Peterson. He's like, I want to give this a try. Okay, so misconceptions. He's doing it by himself. I said, you know what, son? I will do it with you because, one, everything's better when you're part of a team, and we have two data points. Two data points can make a line. It doesn't make a trend, but at least we'll know. So when he has diarrhea because there's too much fat, I can say, well, I know what you're eating, and it's probably too much fat.
Yeah, yeah.
So we got a lot of misconceptions. One, if you don't eat fiber, you can't poop. I mean, that's not true.
Bullshit.
I mean, pun intended. That's it.
Yep, yep.
You
just bullshit. Just no. Just no.
6 months. I've been doing this for 6 months. I will tell you what I eat in a minute, but six months, and I'm pooping just fine. My son has added some things because his goal is not the Lion Diet. His goal is I want to get better. I want to fix my gut issue. Guys, if you have Crohn's and you haven't done this yet, the Lion Diet, not carnivore, the Lion Diet is what you want. It's ruminant meat, salt, and water. Ruminant meat is like cow, sheep.
Mostly red meat.
Yes, anything that would basically has four stomachs. Yep. They ruminate.
Or deer, elk, antelope, sheep, goat, cow.
All of them.
That if you can get it, wildebeest, right? If something chews cud, it's a ruminant.
That's it. And so if you eat that much meat, which I was, so misconception, you can eat whatever you want on carnivore. Just keep eating. I was eating 4,400 calories a day. And I went from 165 to 155, and then I started climbing back up. I'm like, I'm gaining weight now. What's going on? And I wasn't like bigger. I would always say I was. It wasn't. It was just me eating too much. I was eating too much. So I've cut it back and I don't have a problem. I'm now, normaled out.
Yeah.
So you can have too much. The next one is boredom. So what can I eat? I mean, you need to make some choices. You're going to have food addiction. Some of you guys are really, really, really addicted to routine. So this is Hollow Roast Coffee. I love the routine. Am I addicted to it? I don't know. Stop doing it for a day or two. If you can't make it without it, you're addicted to it. Sugar, the combination of a Lay's chip with salt and fat, give it to me, baby.
Yep.
Or Pringles, whatever. You need to figure out those addictions. I think another one is, and you mentioned this, it's you're ignorant. You don't know what you don't know.
Correct.
But,
and we all are.
Yes,
we all are. There's something I do not know how to build from scratch a rocket that can go to the moon. Right? If I'm going to the extreme, but I'm just making a point. When anybody says, well, I'm not ignorant, you're full of shit. Can you synthesize, since we're doing movie references, can you synthesize a methylated alkaloid? Right? Uh-oh. If you can't do that, that's love potion number 9. That's pretty much here.
It's a perfect combination of amino acids and proteins.
Yeah, yeah.
The matrix. Yeah. But still tasty wheats. So I think the other one in there is people will say, I'm doing carnivore, but I'm not losing any weight. So one, you could just be a smaller person. You don't really need to lose weight. There's a proportionality to it. If at 100, or what am I, 5'8", if I was 300 pounds, carnivore would work a lot better than me at 5'8", at 160 pounds. It's just
sure.
It's just science. Yeah. It's math, right? But there is a piece to the ignorance. Like I have had people say, I'm going 100% carnivore, zero carbs. I'm like, great, what are you going to have for lunch? Hamburger. I'm like, what's going to be on the hamburger? You know, I can normal hamburger, lettuce, tomato, bun. I'm like, so where do you think the carbs are?
Yeah.
Well, I'm just going to pretend. I'm like, you don't even know what a carb is.
Yeah. 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 And you know, okay, can we at least get rid of the bun? Right? Can we at least get rid of the bun? Or can we go to the part of the store Andy said and buy the sourdough bun? And then take a bread knife and cut like a third to a half of the bun out so you have a thin top and bottom and eat that, right? Like I've tried – whatever you will do to go in the right direction I believe will help you with this. Like that's where I'm at with it because one of the things – the problem I see with keto, first thing people that go on keto want to do is make bread and pizza and all this other shit. And you know what? I can see it for here and there, but it's like their first move.
Right.
So that goes directly to shitty quality keto.
Right.
And yes, you're keeping your carbs down, but you're eating seed oils and you're eating like polysaturated glutamate crap or whatever the fuck else it is. And right. All these toxic things. And I think that person would be better off taking like the primal or paleo approach because then at least you're eating clean.
Right. So again, spoiler alert, I think it's just eating clean. I think really that's the trick of it all. If you are trying to heal some sort of autoimmune issue, no, I am not a doctor. I did not sleep at Holiday Inn Express. But I literally, with my own eyes, some of you know me in person. I've speak the same speak for 20 years. I am trustworthy. I've seen it with my own eyes. No, my son did not walk on water. But he would eat lettuce and poop lettuce. And you're like, that's lettuce right there. It didn't even like corn sometimes.
Okay, he wasn't digesting.
Don't eat the stuff that you can't digest.
Yeah.
He did lion diet for 4 months. He is now eating other stuff. It did the job. It took 4 months and he's like, nothing's happening. All of a sudden it did. Suddenly he was an overnight success after 4 months. Right.
Yeah.
The
damage had to heal. So you have to think it like if I shoot you with a shotgun in the arm, you know, I can't just rub some concrete on it and it gets better, right? Like we got to get the pellets out and then we got to prevent infection. And right. Then your arms got to heal, and then you could start rebuilding the strength in your forearm.
Right.
But we have damage that now has to – in that case, it was probably lower intestinal damage. And this is the interesting thing. All these doctors that say you need fiber. If you start having digestive distress in your colon, the first thing they will tell you to do is take fiber out of your diet. Now, isn't that – like, you're sitting here, you're looking at this 40-something – pot-belly doctor telling you how to eat, and then they make that state. They tell the first person they need more fiber for their stomach and their intestinal health, and then they tell the person has poor intestinal health to remove the fiber.
Right.
And you go, I know you're smart. I've seen what it takes just to pass the MCAT to get into medical school, but do you not see the – and they don't. Because they're so wrapped into this world of you just do what you're told. And it's the boiling frog thing where, like, people think the boiling frog's real. It's not. If you put a frog in a fucking pot and start turning the heat up, that motherfucker will try to get out, right?
Right. Like, yeah. So there's a couple comments in here about Crohn's. So I hit a nerve here. So when they told my son, hey, you got Crohn's, I had to drive to UGA. I pulled a podcast. I said, reversing Crohn's, curing Crohn's, give me some podcasts. I just posted it in the chat there. They said they can see it, so it's coming up. But it's Josh Detch's Gut Solution. The guy, it's expensive, but it's worth it. That in lion diet, I'm pretty sure, is what got my son through this, and his dedication to doing what they said. But check them out. Eat Lion for a While. Here's the other thing. We mentioned this, and you said it all over your the journey, the playlist, the low carb journey.
Yeah.
Is cure your ignorance. So this is what we came up with. I'll post it in there because so you guys asked
for
it.
I don't see what I've got up there for you. The reason you're trying to post and failing most of the time, you are not super powered.
Oh, gotcha.
You cannot post links. They will just not show up.
Okay. Well, someone said they saw them, but whatever. They'll be in the show notes.
Okay, yeah.
So there's actually I'll pull it up and then I'll share the screen so you can see it. It's nothing fancy, but it's curing your ignorance. And oh man, there's so many things to click. The whole entire screen, please. Share. Okay. Yeah, so many things up here. A buddy of mine owns a CrossFit gym, started this company with Andrea a long time ago, Smart and Simple Nutrition. It's their program. I asked him to put it together. If you want to work one-on-one with them, just go hire him. It's like $399. You can click sign up right here, and it'll say it. Is it $399. If you want to do the thing they set up for me for y'all, it's 8 weeks, a guided challenge or Kickstarter. They teach you this stuff. There's more to it than just don't eat carbs, because seriously, the easy thing to do is just don't eat carbs. The second easy thing to do is watch Jack's playlist and don't eat carbs. The third thing to do is track it and then see what carbs are and don't eat carbs. If you need a handhold or a mentor, that's what this is for. At the very top, the first question it says, who's referred you? You put Jack Spirico, the Survival Podcast, whatever. And then you start that and they'll get you set up. It starts January 18th and there'll be Zoom calls in the morning. I will probably be in there as a customer. It's led by Andrea and her crew. It's going to be awesome. They're going to teach you everything. They're going to have you move. You can talk about electrolytes. You can talk about cramping, all that stuff that comes along with it. Can I poop? Can I not poop? All the misconceptions, all those things. Everything's going to be in there. It's a normal thing. If you've never done anything like this, hello, you're welcome. You don't have to do this though. This is just for the people who are like, hey, I'm not exactly a self-starter. I tried it. It didn't really work. Probably because you're messing up. I need to be educated. I need someone to guide me along. It's just 8 weeks. It's just $99. Do something for yourself.
And I think that, like you said, some level of accountability, I don't care how you get it, is so important. I'll tell you who I see fail the most that I think otherwise would succeed. Divided couples.
Oh, man.
Dad's going to go carnivore. Dad's going to go keto. Dad's just going to go clean food. And mom don't want nothing to do with it. Or the other way around. It doesn't matter which side it is. Because imagine you're an alcoholic and you're trying to give up drinking, but your partner drinks every day. And so now you're watching this person experience your vice. This is very difficult to do. And if you go in any kind of 12-step program, drugs, alcohol, whatever, what do they tell you? The first thing you have to do is separate from the people engaging in the behavior that you can't engage anymore. It doesn't even matter that they're not a drug addict or they're not an alcoholic. Like, if they engage in the behavior at all when you're around, you can't be there, especially in the beginning.
Right.
And so I don't really have great advice for that person other than you have to do this for yourself. And I think when it's really bad is there are people, and I don't believe they're optimally healthy at all, but they can eat all the fucking garbage and their build is your build. They look like you, right? They like maybe don't have the muscle tone you do, but they're thin. They look fine.
Yeah.
A lot of those people are walking around little pooch bellies and have diabetes, but they don't look bad.
Right.
And if that's your partner and they're eating pizza every day and Cheetos and shit, and you can't, it's very difficult to get that person on board with you because they don't have anywhere near the physical incentive, at least that they know of.
Right.
Because, oh, I'm fine. Well, I'm fine, you know. And then the other thing I see happen is kind of the bucket crab thing where, like, when one crab's about to get out, the other crab drags it back down. You got a couple, and they're both fat. And
right.
One starts getting their shit together, and the other one doesn't like it.
Yeah.
And I'm not a great marriage counselor, you know, or anything. I don't know really what to tell that person, but I'm back to it is for you. And maybe if you do it right and long enough, they'll want to be part of it.
Yeah. Guys, again, community. Your partner is your initial community. My wife and I eat very different. She's actually now said, you and Evan home over the holidays made the house really smell like steak fat. And Evan and I are like, yeah, we did. She's like, no, like, I mean it in a bad way. So we're not against each other, but we don't eat the same way. As I go more meat, she goes more veggies. I'm like, that's fine. But we both eat relatively clean. We're not bringing each other down. we're not necessarily lifting each other up because we differently. Now, if I'm at the store, of course I buy whatever she needs me to buy, but I make two different meals if we're going to eat at the same time. You've got to find the right people to go along this journey with you. That's why there's this particular community, your community, the Survival Podcast. Get in there together with each other. None of what we ever talk about is actually all that complicated. Hey, go buy a gun. Hey, stock some bullets. Hey, get some beans. It's just not easy to do. You have to do this stuff. Hey, stop eating carbs. It's not complicated. Just don't eat a carb. But it's not easy.
Yeah. I use that all the time. Simple, not easy.
Right.
Like, simple is a thing you can do, right? There's no real reason that you can't do it. Like, there is no real reason, I promise you. There's no real reason that even if you're not going to go to the level Andy or I have with our diets, that you can't say, as of this fucking moment, right now, this second, and I am talking to you, listening to me right now, you can't say, no more fucking seed oils, no more toxic fucking chemicals, no more freaking any of the garbage, I'm just going to eat clean. There is no reason you can't do that, and anything you say, I'm looking at you, is a bullshit fucking excuse. You understand me? But I didn't say it was easy.
No. And so, hey, if it was another easy, one in this thing.
Easy is the path of least resistance. Easy is when you push a boulder off the fucking cliff, right. It's very easy for it to roll down the cliff. Okay? Right. Simple is rolling it back up the cliff. Let's say it's a 50-pound boulder.
Just push, baby.
It's a 50-pound boulder.
Yeah, just
you
push.
You are a big enough human being, and it's not that steep. You can put it back up top, but it's not easy. But the concept is simple, right?
Right.
It's not a goddamn block for the pyramids, right? You don't need magnetic lev or vibrationary energy technology to do it, but it takes effort. You have to choose it, right?
Yeah.
And it's not – I am talking to you.
Guys, it's yes to this stuff. It's not complicated. You can do it. Sometimes you need the community. Sometimes you need a push. Sometimes you just make a choice. I know a guy who said, I'm going to do this. I'm like, really, why? He's like, well, I don't want to lose another foot. Okay. Don't be like that. Don't wait so long. So in my
make
years
your
of
motivation, I don't want to lose a foot.
Yes. Oh, right.
How about
right?
Not a toe? You don't even want to lose your toe.
So, oh man, I listened to too many podcasts. Somebody in some podcast said they've now are letting the what's the measurement they use to say you're pre-diabetic? It's like if it's a 6, they're like, seven, yeah, you're pre-diabetic. I can't now. I lost whatever it was. Anyway, they're now saying, nah, that's okay. 7's kind of normal. So they've downgraded normal to be more dumb. And they're like, we'll just put you on a drug. You're like, well, wait a minute. What if I don't want to be on the drug? Guys, I'm 51 years old. I can squat with weight down to a good level. I can pick things up. I can move. I can run. I can go up a hill. I don't take any drugs. I don't even go to the – well, I did go to the doctor because I turned 50, and they're like, you should go to the doctor.
Okay.
It is possible. Statistical anomaly. All you have to do is just don't eat stupid shit. Really, it's been sugar, and now lately it's been carnivore. 6 months, not a single vegetable. I am still here. I did blood work. The blood work said, dude, you're awesome. My doctor said, damn it. Because he wanted to show something was wrong.
Yeah.
You will. Okay, here's another misconception. And part of this, you have to know this. Your cholesterol is going to go bonkers. Your brain is mostly cholesterol. When you don't eat carbs, you now only have fat as your fuel. I do CrossFit. I get all like worked up. If you're going to move fat to be your fuel, the thing that transports it is cholesterol. The thing that also repairs your body is cholesterol. So you need to get the advanced lipid test, and what they do is they put your cholesterol under a scope, and they're looking for that LDL to be large and fluffy.
Particle.
I don't know what the hell that means,
yeah.
But that's what they're looking for. And so the guy was like, my doctor was like, dude, your cholesterol's off the charts, but your LDL shows that it's like better than the best, so whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, cholesterol is not the problem.
Think about the people like me that were really bad before they did it.
Mm.
Yeah, my cholesterol went insane, right?
Right.
But there was a reason. I had massive amounts of damage throughout my body. I know that because of the way I treated myself for 20 years. Now, when you begin to become healthy, your body wants to fix what you fucked up. And what you just said is exactly what happens. Your body, to repair tissue, must produce cholesterol and use that cholesterol to repair tissue. The
right.
Reality is almost all the cholesterol in your body is made by your body. The cholesterol you consume has almost no impact at all directly on the cholesterol in your blood. In other words, you could eat a great big Kobe beef patty and have your cholesterol tested before and an hour after, and it's not going to move your blood cholesterol for shit.
No.
Unless your body is actively producing it in your liver, which is what makes it, so it can repair parts of your body. It doesn't go like from your mouth to your stomach into your blood. That's not how cholesterol works.
Nope. There was a study that they did, and I want to say it's the Miami study. It's something like this. But they took people who've reported, self-reported, I eat carnivore for the last 5 years.
Yeah.
And then other people. And they put it together, and they're like, well, damn, most of the things we thought we knew, we don't know, because these 50 men or whatever it was that are eating all just meat are actually doing really good. We thought you'd be dead.
Yeah.
So it's a thing. Now, hey, I get it. I totally get it. Some of you are like, but I've done vegan and it worked. Good. You're different. I don't know how you're still alive, but whatever. It works.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm telling you as a personal experience, I do this stuff every day. I live this way. Okay. I said I'd tell you what I eat. It's super boring. I am not bad with food boredom. I grew up wrestling, and so I have really bad habits with food anyway, so I probably don't have a great relationship there, but it works for me. In the morning, I'll go out and get eggs out of my little cloaca device, and I'll bring them back inside, wash them up, and start cooking them. I got about a cup of ground beef, about 4 or 5 eggs. I mix it together. I eat that for breakfast. For lunch, I throw a New York strip in the air fryer.
Yeah.
30 minutes later or whenever it heats up and does its thing, it comes out. Beautiful. I eat that. Lots and lots of salt. I make my own electrolyte water. I just put it in this glass bottle because I guess, you know, why not glass? I drink a lot of salt and a lot of magnesium, a lot of potassium. For dinner, I make breakfast, but this time I put about a spool's worth of goat cheese in it and I mix it in. And that's it. I eat three meals, and two of them are the same, except it has goat cheese. That's it. I don't snack. I don't have leftovers. I eat it all. And they talk about the cost of it. Well, I don't snack. I don't eat anything. Like, we went out to eat for dinner, and then a movie. We saw that Homestead movie. Was that it? But I pre-ate before we went. So I still don't even eat out. And then the other thing is all the deer hunters around me said, you know, they want to hunt, but they've got deer in their fridge still. I asked them, I was like, hey, just give me all your old deer. Most of it is fine. It's been frozen. Some of it is not. I give that to the dog. That's okay. I'm helping them get through a food that they're not going to shuffle through.
There are people who ate mammoth in the 30s that they defrosted out of the permafrost and they didn't die. So I'm thinking a piece of venison been in the freezer for 2 years may not be optimum flavor, but plenty safe to eat. Yeah. I mean, I am not on a lion diet or even full carnivore, but like, here's an example of what I ate today. I fried up 4 pieces of bacon until they were like half cooked, cut them up in pieces, threw them in this little cup thing, threw 2 eggs on it, a handful of cheese, and a little bit of cream mixed in the egg. And I have this little egg steamer thing that I brought around right before Christmas for making hard-boiled eggs, but also makes omelets. And it made this little omelet. That's what I ate today.
Yeah. Right?
And they were 2 beautiful Jersey Giant chicken eggs from my coop. And you said your colloquial advice, did you go back to chickens? Because I know you're like, chickens suck.
No, ducks suck. Ducks suck. Chickens are awesome.
Okay.
Chickens are like cats. I hate cats, but I don't mind an outside cat.
Okay.
So chickens are like, what up, dog? You going to feed us? No, you're not. We're just going to go do our thing. Ducks are
like. Did you tell me you got rid of them because like they were getting eaten by coyotes or something?
So I have found another best friend thanks to you and your stupid idea. So I now have a Great Pyrenees that was so cute and cuddly when we got him and we left him inside for too long and he bonded to me. So he just protects me. It's annoying and cute, and he was in here until he's like, dude, let me out. So I was going to put him in the show. But so he has kept the coyotes away. He goes outside, drops hair, and I guess craps. I don't know. The coyotes are like, that dog's big. Let's not go there. What he doesn't do is stop the hawks. So the hawks just come to the McCann buffet, and they're like, doof, thank you. I'm like, damn it, again? So I'm still working on that. I've got some new solutions up. But it's the ducks. The ducks, I had like 15. The coyotes, yeah. I got on video. It's a great show. They decimated them. And I was like, thank you, because I don't like them anyway. And I had 3 that I just couldn't kill. Their names were Christmas dinner, Thanksgiving, and Easter. Anyway, I didn't kill them, but they finally got taken. I don't know where they went. The aliens came and got them. The drones came and got it.
Okay.
So my ducks are gone. Chickens are good. Chickens are great. I got like, 40 that are about 4 months old and maybe 15 that are laying.
Yeah. What I did, I went to Jersey Giants. So I got rid of all my bantams because they were shitting on everything. They fly like pheasants, man. And they went feral, and I had baby chickens. I had like 200 freaking chickens. And fortunately, the hawks were eating the shit out of them because they were little. I got rid of them all. And then like 6 months later, I realized my coop stinks all the time.
Yeah.
And all my coop straw is flat and nasty from all the duck things. And I'm like, I need chickens. So I'm like, I want the biggest, laziest fucking chicken I could find. And I happened to be had to go to Tractor Supply, and they had Jersey Giants, which they never do. And I'm like, they're big, fat, and lazy. So I got them. They grow and they look like the freaking black vultures that eat dead shit on the side of the road. They're big. The freaking hawks, I think, are terrified of them. They fly over and they look down. They don't even come down for the ducks anymore. They're like, nah, fuck that. It's like some giant freaking vulture bird that's going to eat me. And they leave us alone now. We haven't lost a bird since we got them, except when they were little. We lost one of them to a hawk, and then they, you know, they matured out. Once they matured out, the hawks are like, no, I don't think so.
Well, and so that's the thing. So I'm a lazy homesteader. The gardening barely works. Bruce's tomato lived. That guy was okay. He was in the walkway, so perfect. The bees, I thought, hey, they're insects. They can do their thing. They always left. I'm like, all right, that didn't work. The ducks took too much attention because I had kept filling up the pond. I just would I hated it when you pulled the pond up, then it splashed back, and now you have duck shit all over your feet. You're like, damn it. So the chickens are good. The problem is, I was like, look, chickens are like pretty like dumb and smart at the same time.
Yeah. They kind of look out. That's a good way to put it.
They'll figure it out, but they didn't. The hawks, when I would let them breed and then just go and like hop through the fence and all that, the hawks, they did their job. I mean, hawks are like, dog, I got this. You think that's going to protect them? The hawk string CDs in the air. Netting, we got please. I actually had a hawk dive bomb the top of the net, pushed it far enough down, grabbed the chicken, pecked him a few times while I'm watching.
Yeah,
he got his eat on, and then he like launched himself back up and out. I'm like, ha.
yeah, they'll do it. We had some young ones in a cage, like in a tractor to brood, and he didn't get them, but the hawk was like literally trying to pull the top off the cage, and they were terrible. I was like, man, you know, you got to put yourself in this little bird's perspective. You got this little chicken. It weighs about 4 ounces. Here's a 3-pound Cooper's hawk. That's like you being attacked by one of those fucking pterodactyls on Jurassic Park.
Right.
Trying to rip the roof off his house.
Yes.
That had to be, I'm surprised they didn't have heart attacks, honestly. I mean, they were itty bitty.
So I guess down here in Woodstock, they breed the hawks a little different, because I had one out there eating, and I went out there to kind of get rid of it, and he just looked at me, and he's like, hey, man, give me a minute. I'm like, what?
No,
so I backed off. The roosters are dead. The roosters did their job. They're all dead.
These really big teeth things around here. That
well,
my boy I just lost last year, Charlie, he got 2 in his career. He went this close to a hat trick and getting 3 Cooper's hawks. He was just a little too old and a little too slow. And it landed on one of our fence post things, and he snuck around back, and he missed it by that much. He took one off a chicken. It was killing a chicken. He grabbed it, and he took another one straight out of the air. Like, you freaking air dog it like a Frisbee.
Dang.
And so they will come, but they're afraid.
Yeah.
And with good reason, because when a pit bull speaks to that, you stop moving when you're they don't weigh much. They're 2.5-3 pounds.
Right. Well, and this Great Pyrenees – he has chased a lot of things, and I think he might – so he's limping on a knee now or a leg or whatever. And I guess big dogs do this, have this problem, so it's a new thing I don't know how to fix. But he's limping around, so I don't know. The birds and the wildlife is smart. They figure stuff out. But we got chickens. They're doing their thing. Hey, guys, I threw in there this thing you can do. You're like, hey, well, not do you want chickens, but like if you're like, hey, do I need this stuff? Do I need to raise my own food to get healthy? Do I need to – like, I feel like I'm pretty fit. So Sean Mills sent me an email, and I'm going to embellish his email. But it was something like, hey, I move around a lot all day, but I find my body is not – like I'm getting tighter. I'm like, yes. Right. So us homesteading people, yes, you're going to be farm fit, but you also can't stretch because – you can't be bendy. You don't do that. So you have to reclaim those things. So I did a little thing for my guys in the gym. Hey, am I healthy and fit? Here are some things, a home test you can do on your own. Like do a plank. How many seconds were you able to hold it? I'll give that to Jack. I'll put it somewhere. You can go on my website and find it, whatever.
Okay.
But there are things you guys can do to see if you should be doing this. Again, the greatest hack of all hacks is find connection, start eating carnivore. I don't know how to make it more simple. I've got 17 years of this dumb business. No, great business. This is great. And I move a lot. It's the movement is good, but how you eat is so important.
Yeah, I would agree with that 100%. Can we maybe talk a little bit about, you have a carnivore Kickstarter program.
Yeah.
How do people get into it?
Yeah, so that's what I showed you earlier. Sorry, I went all over the map on this, but it's where is it? There you go. I'll pull it up. You guys didn't see it. Let's see. Share screen. Full screen. Click, click, click. Yeah, so this guy right here, guys. I did mention that, and sorry, I went all out of order, but this. Join that right there. Again, the easy one is just don't eat carbs. Second easy is watch Jack's playlist of the low-carb journey. Third is log your food for 2 weeks. I'll help you for free. Now I'm not going to give you like 9 hours. I'll just look at your food list and be like, hey, that ice cream you do every night, that's an entire gallon, is probably dumb. Weird thing is, as you track, it's getting attention, and the things that get attention will change. So you're going to notice those things on your own anyway. Then there's this. It is paid, so jump in if you like to. I think it's a great program. If you're in Woodstock, which is highly unlikely, but if any of you guys that listen to this are in Woodstock, I own a CrossFit garage, a gym here. I will help you. I'll give you some free time. Come in. Let me help you start the journey. Because if you don't do something, if you do nothing, that's like the definition of insanity. You're not going to just randomly become fitter by sitting on your butt. You literally have to fight old man time. He's coming after you.
Agreed. You have these five pillars of health.
Sure.
And, you know, you say connection is the hardest one, but I find that, like, that's probably true for the majority, right? Like, some people are really good at connection, but they're not really good at, like, managing their money. Some people are really good at connection, but they're not really good at managing their physical health or their diet.
Right.
I think that, like, the place that most people really should start on anything, because this is how I run my workflow on a daily basis. Like, here's a list of everything I have to do, and I rate them. Number one, if it's outside and, like, something's going to die, it gets a one, right? So first, is something going to die or really bad things are going to happen if I don't do it? They'll get ones, and they go first because you have to. Number two, and I do them in order, one and twos and then threes and fours and fives. Number two is everything that really should happen today that I don't want to fucking do.
Right.
So it's like, I'm going to do this because if I don't do this, something's going to die. Like, the pumps needs to be replaced or the fish are going to die. I'm going to go do that. Then here's all the fucking shit I don't actually want to do. I do that first, and then it's easy. So I think finding the thing that you suck the most at is usually the thing you don't want to do.
Yes.
Work on it first. So I think it'd be a good idea if people could figure out, like, where of these five things, where am I weakest? Is there some way people – and I think intrinsically we kind of know, but sometimes people need to be hit a little bit in the head with a thing to, like, accept that I really do suck. Because you also could find people like, well, what are you really good at? Those I'm good at. You suck at that, right? We all know you suck at that, right?
Right.
So how do you figure out where you suck the most?
So I think probably the best answer is the last one you just gave there. Talk to the people that you care about. Ask them. So there are very few people in your life, most likely, you guys listening, and in my life too, that I'm really willing to tell the complete truth to at the risk of my friendship. Right. Yeah. Most of the times it's just not along. We're like, yeah, sure. If you want to do methamphetamines, I guess go ahead. No, I'd say no, don't do that.
Just do the healthy meth.
What's that? Yeah, healthy meth. That's healthy. Yeah. And you only dig on the right arm. It's totally fine.
Yeah.
So you find those people that you have that relationship with. If you don't have that relationship, then connection is your problem. You need to have somebody that you know, like, and trust, and you can ask things of them. Right. Ask them, hey, of the five things, how I eat, sleep, move, think, and connect, what do you think is my worst thing? What should I improve? What would give me the biggest bang for the buck? What should I fix? In my life, it wasn't any of those. It was like, Andy, you're a dick. Stop being such an asshole. And it wasn't really that I meant to be. I'm an engineer that might have, like, rocked a lot as a kid. I don't know. I just don't know that emotions are real. So that's my thing. But ask them. And don't question them or defend. Just ask and say thank you. And then ask another person. If they start lining up, that's the way to go. Now, I think the other way is true too. You said you probably already know, and it's probably based on the thing you'd hate to do the most. That's probably it.
Yeah.
But if you look at, like, what a doctor would say, or not doctor, sometimes I feel not good using them as an example. Not bad that I don't want to use a doctor as an example. If you use statistics and an actuary table, it's going to show you that if you don't fix your sleep, first, you're going to die. You need to get good rest. Rest is the key for most everything to unlock many portions of you. Start there. Go through the find any podcast. You can find my podcast. Find any of them that talk about how to sleep better. I think we talked about it last time. Or in the Five Pillars presentation, those are a couple opportunities. Work on your sleep. See how that goes. Pick an easy one. The next base layer one is going to be how you eat. If you eat like crap, I mean, you can't out-exercise a bad diet. You could be strong, but you're still going to be a fat ass and close to death. And then move. And if I was going to move and I could only pick one thing for you to do, I would say actually get strong. Because inside of strong is some cardio, but not really in cardio is strength. Strength, muscle, weirdly does a lot more for you. You're going to get a compounding effect on many things by having mass, by having muscle. Now, I don't mean like you need to be bulky. I am definitely not bulky. Nobody ever walks down the streets of Woodstock and says, "Damn, Andy, are you taking steroids?" That's not what they say. But they do pick me for their dodgeball team, even at 51. No, nobody does that. But you know what I'm saying. You, be healthy and fit, be moving. Be lifting something. Actuate something outside of yourself. And then I think the next thing is, that, again, it's kind of that order. Connection is the least useful, but the most at the end. Think would be next. The easy one there is, do you live in a hostile world? Or do you live in a friendly world? The guy, you're going to work, you're driving. No, who drives to work now? You're going to the grocery store. Yeah, there you go. Get that plank on.
Don't say nothing. Just let it go.
You're going to the grocery store and somebody cuts you off. Do you think to yourself, asshole? Okay, that's a hostile world. Or do you think to yourself, hey, maybe they're trying to get the medicine for their family member, so they need to cut in front of me. Good. I'm glad they got ahead, right? That's a friendly world. The way you perceive the world is going to affect a lot about you with anxiety and all sorts of stuff. And then, of course, the last one is connection. Dude, hug somebody. Start it. You got to have connection. Without connection, it's tough. But I would start with sleep unless your friends tell you this is where you need to start. We can see it.
Yeah. Sometimes I put things up that are just for the video people.
Okay, sure.
You know, they have nothing to do even really with what we're talking about other than there was a mention of a plank, and when you saw that, I immediately, and it took a while to find that meme, but yeah, as a person with a bit of, I don't know if ADD is the right thing for me. Like I call myself a functional autistic. Like,
I cannot plank.
Say it.
Yes. Right.
You know, that's I've been known as an asshole.
The thing that I've realized in life, again, ADD, I don't know, or ADHD, whatever. Yeah. I don't know, but I wish everyone talked at times two speed. Because I listen to all my stuff at times too. I just need the world to be faster.
Yeah.
And I need them to shape with me.
What? Yeah. You mentioned here something about fitness being a hedge against sickness.
Yeah.
And there's simple movement habits that people can implement. I want to clarify what I think about that before you kind of talk about what people can do to make that part of their life. And that is, I am not saying if you get fit, you will never get sick. What I'm saying is, if you do get sick, no matter what you get sick with, you will handle it better than if you were not healthy.
That's it.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I can't guarantee you won't get cancer, but I know that a healthy person is more likely to get through cancer treatment than a very sick person is. I can't say you won't get one of the 97 respiratory diseases that they're more in a quaddemic or whatever, but I am telling you that most of the people that die from them are old or enfeebled or very sick or extremely obese.
Right.
And I know we're not supposed to say that, but that's what the data says. The data says that young, healthy people do not die of these diseases. And I don't even want to say the name of them. You know what I'm talking about. I don't want to get demonetized and kicked off YouTube. And I think next time I go to YouTube prison, it's like a 60-day stint or something, right? And I'm on the edge of going away forever. So I don't want to say it. But that's what you know what I'm talking about, right? Like, healthy people do not die from these diseases. They don't even end up in the hospital from them.
Right. That's exactly it. So a hedge against sickness. So if my heart rate, they say the heart rate, normal heart rate is about 75 beats per minute. If I get sick, it'll go up because my heart's working harder. But if I'm healthy and fit and my heart rate is 50 and I get sick and my heart rate goes up, I am now just at a biometric standpoint what they would consider healthy. So we have a better chance by adding to our preps, our body, to make sure we can get through things better and easier. It's, man, it, again, simple versus easy. just start doing some of the things. Start moving. Look at some of those biometrics. Can I move it in a good direction? How fast does my heart rate come back down? That's a pretty good one. I don't really need to know my VO2 max, but if going up a flight of stairs is tough, that's a problem. You're on the wrong side of it, right? Look at some of those things. Again, a lot of this is made easier with the community, which is why I'm really trying to pour into this. I love this community. After going to the fall workshop, the Self-Reliance Festival, all this stuff, meeting all you guys, this whole thing is a lot different than just listening on your phone. I challenge you, if you only have listened on your phone or whatever device, get on the live stream and start asking questions. It's awesome. Then get involved. There's a Telegram channel. I know I forget Telegram exists, but get involved in that community. Be part of it. Try some of this stuff. Raise some chickens and raise some ducks and see if you like it. But this, all of this stuff is a hedge against the stuff that may or may not happen. I mean, your tagline, helping you build a good life now, when times are good, or even if they're not.
Yeah.
It's a hedge.
Yeah.
You tell people get out of debt as a hedge against the badness that may come with financial issues.
You know, I think if you – like the diet thing, if you just said, like, could I have eaten this in 1900? That alone, right? Like, you know what you wouldn't eat? Soy. No. Like, unless you were in China and you were eating tofu, you wouldn't eat soy. It wasn't even grown in the United States until – in any serious amount until the 20s. Bread, you could have eaten bread. It wouldn't have come pre-sliced. They didn't invent that shit until the Depression, right? I think it was Wonder Bread or Mayer's or somebody was the first machine to do a sliced bread, right?
Right.
And this is something people don't know. I only know this because of Bill Mollison. Wheat, until about the 1920s in America, when it was harvested, it had to be stacked in sheaves in the field. They didn't do that because it's nostalgic and it looks cool. They did that because it fermented the wheat before it was even threshed.
Ooh, okay.
It came up in temperature. It had to be tested for protein content. And I don't remember what the number was, but there was a percentage. And if the wheat was below that percentage in protein, it was considered insufficient for human consumption.
Mm.
So all the wheat that you would eat today didn't do that, and it is lower protein than it's supposed to be for human consumption. So you can eat – like, and this is – I do want to talk a little bit about your thoughts on, like, people being healthy without necessarily being keto or carnivore or whatever, because – you know, I grew up in a Ukrainian household. We ate a lot of potatoes, okay? Ukraine and Poland share a border. There's a lot of potatoes in there. We ate a lot of cheese. We ate a lot of flour, right? My grandmother made chicken pot pie. You ain't never seen a chicken pot pie. So you see, my grandmother made chicken pot pie. It was about 4 inches thick. There was no gravy in the pie. Big, beautiful, fresh, homemade crust, carrots, potatoes, peas, chicken, mushrooms. The reason there was no gravy in the pie, she would cook like 3 of them at a time, and she's cooking for like 20 people, and you never know when anybody's going to eat, so you made the gravy. The gravy was separate. That way you could heat up the slice of pie and then put the gravy on it, right? We ate pierogies. If you know what you've been to Pennsylvania, you know what a pierogi is, right? It's a dumpling with potato and cheese inside it. We ate machanka. Machanka is a cheese soup, and then you take butter and you clarify it. You strain out the solids. You throw onions in it. You cook them until they're translucent. You take a bowl of cheese, essentially. It's like queso without peppers. You put a big spoonful of freaking clarified butter and onions on top of it. Then you cut up Jewish rye bread into sticks, and you dip it in the fucking cheese, and you eat it. I am not going to eat that today. But what I'm telling you is I didn't know any fucking fat people. Right. I knew people that were a little bit overweight. My grandfather had a bit of a gut on him. But he also lived to be in his 90s. And he smoked 2 packs of Camels every day, and he never passed a whiskey bottle without opening it. And I don't understand fully why that changed, but I have to believe it has to do with the stuff going into the food. Because the difference is dramatic. I'm sure you've seen this. They posted this picture. It's a still from Full Metal Jacket. And remember the guy that shoots himself?
Yeah.
Right? Badass, right? And he's trying to do a pull-up. And Emery, right? He's like, you will do one goddamn pull-up before this ends, right? And the caption was, remember, when this movie came out, this person was considered fat.
Right. Yeah, good point.
Right? So somewhere along the way, we've gone from people being very omnivorous and being relatively healthy anyway to being obese. And we also went from a point where there was a point in time in America, I want to be clear about this too, where we were malnourished, especially in rural America, like the entire school lunch program, that started because when we tried to draft people in World War I, like half the farm kids and shit were considered unfit for duty.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so they were like, they're not getting enough food, period. Right? Because they were impoverished, right? So we also had, and we had, you know, huge epidemic of rickets in the teens and the 20s because people weren't getting outside enough to get enough vitamin D3. And they found vitamin D3. And then they thought it was a vitamin. They didn't realize it was a hormone. And they like, okay, well, it's a vitamin. Well, vitamins have to have like an upper limit where they're not safe. So they tested it. And they figured out that if you could, it were like 300 nanoliters per milliliter or whatever, like 300 on the test was too high. And they're like, fuck, we're not sure. So they just made it 100. They divided it by 3 as a safety. To this day, so there is not, like, it's not everything in the past was wonderful. But yet, I remember this period of time. Like, I grew up in the 70s and 80s, and in school we had a fat kid. I still remember his name, Jason Kochik. Out of a high school, like, all four grades was, like, 900 people. It wasn't big. It wasn't small. It was mid-sized high school. And Jason Kochik, in four grade levels, was the only if you said the fat kid, him. The
right.
The people walking around today, the people line dancing on drug commercials today, are way fatter than that guy ever was. So something to me is wrong here. It's not that we all stopped going to the beach or working out, because I don't remember everybody working out all the time. Like I did, I wrestled, I was on a football team, so we worked out, but like what are you doing? I'm going to go work out. Well, why? Because I want to make the team this year, right? Like they didn't do it and they were thin and they were eating garbage, you know, technically, but it was nowhere near the corn syrup and seed oils to me are not the only things, but they're my number one place I look for what you can control. And the other one's glyphosate. And the glyphosate thing for me, I don't know if you've heard this, Andy. They did a study testing for glyphosate levels in urine. They included people who only ate organic food, which is never sprayed with glyphosate, at least supposedly. Even some of those people had more glyphosate in their urine than is acceptable in groundwater.
Ooh,
So those three to me, get away from glyphosate, which I think I'm going to do that by eating carnivore. Because even though the animal's eating it, the amount that passes through in the muscle is going to be significantly lower than what you're going to get from, corn or soy or whatever else you're eating, these seed oils. The high fructose corn syrup, I don't know if you know this, the dude that did that first with a major brand worked for Ocean Spray. He did it in either like 72 or 76, somewhere in there, right after Fiat came. And the first year they switched from cane sugar to corn syrup, his bonus as the program director was so big he bought a giant ranch in Wyoming and named it the Sugar Ranch. So all these things, the heavy use of glyphosate, because glyphosate before GMOs, you couldn't spray the food you eat with it. You had to spray like hedgerows and shit. The seed oils, that goes back to about the 70s and it began to grow from there. And the corn syrup, like those three things feel to me like maybe the reason why we do work so much is because they're one of the best mitigation strategies for those three things.
Yeah, I'm right along with you. Now, I'm going to throw in a little twist here that I hate to really even ponder because I'm so much a capitalist. But I think the point of the system is to make the money. And what do they do when they make the money? They capture the system. And so in my love of trickle-down economics and all that, they figured out how to like buy it all up. And as a sales guy, I know you want to understand the system and you want to play the game. So I hate to say it, but like no form of government and rule is good because in the end, the ultimate strategy for them is to screw us all. And we let businesses capture and go for bliss points and have their way. And like, I mean, just go ahead and say this is good. We'll approve it later on. You're like,
Well, it's regulatory capture. So you create the FDA, right? You take the FDA and you say they're going to regulate the food industry. And maybe it works okay at the beginning. And then, you realize like people don't want to pay for this. So you say, we'll make the companies that we're regulating pay for their own regulation. Everybody goes, well, that makes sense. But then those companies are like, really? We have to pay for our own regulation. How much?
Yeah.
You need some more money? You need some more money? We'll give you some more money. Oh, you said something we don't like. No more money. Remember all the extra money we were giving you? No, why do you think the pharmaceutical companies advertise on TV? Do you really think somebody watches a freaking 280-pound woman do Broadway line dancing and then goes to their doctor and asks for a GLP-1?
Give me it. Yeah. Right?
No, they don't. That's not how that works. They do that because they're spending billions with one network is getting billions of dollars from them. Do you think CNN or Fox News is going to run a story that depicts a GLP-1 in a negative light when all their advertising, they don't even need their mark, you know, nobody important in the company, just the advertising executive from the company goes, you know, I think we're going to cut our ad spend to zero in March.
Right.
Bye. So, like, I don't like big government at all. I want no government. But we have government protecting this shit. So when RFK talks about, and I don't know if they'll do it, because he says the president can do it with a fucking executive order. No more pharmaceuticals advertised on TV. I think the dramatic change of that, think of, you're old enough to remember. Remember cigarette ads?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Dude, we would go to restaurants and they're like, this is a smoking section. This plane, the back is smoking. You're like, how about a tube in the air is back smoking? What the hell does that mean?
So I used to say when they used to have it on planes, a no smoking section on a plane is like a no peeing section in a swimming pool.
Right.
It's the exact same concept.
I mean,
and then, have you ever been to Atlanta Hartsfield Airport?
Oh, yeah.
And seen the smoking cubes?
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you anybody out there has never seen this, it's almost worth going to Atlanta to look at it, right? So they have these plexiglass. It's like a fish tank for people. And they have these air handling equipment. So you go in there, and it's like negative pressure like a hospital. And so they can smoke in there, and the smoke won't come out the door.
Yeah.
And it's, oh, honest to God, Andy, isn't it? It's a foot deep off the ceiling, this cloud of, like, black smoke.
And tar on the windows.
Ugh. And they're all in there smoking it up. And when that one part, like the smoke doesn't come out, but when that person walks out of there, it just walks past you like, oh my God.
Right.
And I'm not picking on people for smoking. I'm just saying, like, maybe if that's what you have to do your thing, you should be doing. I remember when we first started having smoking bans in restaurants in Dallas-Fort Worth. And this is a very conservative area and it was fought pretty hard. But the people that pushed it were actually the people that worked for the restaurants.
Oh, interesting.
They said, because you can have it, everybody does have it, so we can't get away from it. And so they started doing it. And my wife and I were standing in line, you know, waiting to get our name on a list at this one restaurant we used to go to. And she said something about they just did that. And I said to her, I said, I don't know, man, if you can't sit through dinner without a cigarette, like you can smoke before, have your dinner, and come out after and have a cigarette. I think if you can't get through a dinner without it, you have a problem. The couple in front of us went Karen before Karen was a thing. They like rolled their eyes and they fucking left like in a huff because I said that to my wife and they took it personally. I'm like, and one dude turns around. He goes, bro, I think you just proved your point.
Dude, a couple things there. Yes to all of that. I'm sorry that all the Karens out there now can't use their own name. Sorry about that. And it's insane what we will say is normal, like first class can smoke on you, but it's not going to go back in the rest of the plane. I mean, all this stuff, like we made some really dumbass rules that you know are dumb, and yet here we are doing those dumb things. And if you can't go without, just like we talked about earlier, when you start, if you guys start on this carnivore journey, carnivore, ketovore, keto, whichever one, so less carbs, and you find yourself needing the thing, you're addicted to it. That's what we're trying to say. You're just it's not bad. Just understand yourself. Love the – so I love hypocrisies. I love hypocrisies. So the Democrats would say, hey, look, we want to protect your life from the cradle to the grave if you can make it to the cradle.
Yeah.
Now, the Republicans will say, we love God. We love God so much. We want guns in case we want to help you meet him faster. You're like, dude, these shouldn't get along. They should be like abortion and guns should go together. That's a perfect matchup. But – hey, hypocrisies in addictions and things like that are all over our life. Just understand them and acknowledge them and be who you are. You know, that's it. And then try to eat some more eggs.
Yeah. Yeah. You talk a lot, too, about the role of mindset and gratitude.
Yeah.
And long-term health and wellness. How can people develop those habits? Because I think that's another thing. Like, I think that, like, one of the – I don't remember who I read. It was back when I was digging really deeply into natural health. and I think it was Andrew Weil, and he said something to the effect of you should like basically say grace to your food even if you're not religious.
Yeah.
Like, gratitude itself had this like spiritual value even for the atheist. And that always resonated with me. Like gratitude is so important. Like one of the things that I do with people when they tell me like I'm having a hard time and I don't do a lot of this so people don't start asking, but sometimes I end up with friends that I'm kind of counseling and dealing with emotional issues and shit, and like they hate their job. And I'm like, why don't you for the next 3 weeks write down everything that you like about your job? I'm like, and they're like, I don't like anything. Do you like paying your bills? Yeah. Does it pay well? Yeah. Start with it pays well. Something.
That's
every day, I challenge you for the next 3 weeks to find at least one thing a day that you do like about your job and write it down. And do that for 3 weeks. And every day, read everything you have and read it 4 or 5 times a day. And I've literally had people come back and go, I don't know what happened, but the people at my work have really changed. They didn't. No, they did not change. You
That's
changed
it.
In 3 weeks from that one exercise. And so I think gratitude is really important.
That's it. I mean, you've summed it up right there. And if I could make it into a fancy little sentence, it's, do you live in a hostile world or do you live in a world of that's for you? So is it, you know, friendly or hostile? Which one? So this right here, I don't know if you can see it. It goes, oh, it's backwards. 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And this guy, this Power of Habit or Atomic Habit, those books on mindset and how to get through it. Dude, just go read those on your own. They're great books. But the short of it is you got to change and reframe. So you can do that with your job. You can do it with your wife or your husband, whatever, your kids, anything. Start looking at the things you do enjoy from it. It's your perspective. So reframe the story. Take a breath. Stop being the victim. I can't because they. No, change it. I've decided not to. Whatever, right? You just change the wording. So there's a guy, it's called Enlifted, and he says, write it down.
Okay.
And then write it with a question mark. And then write it as if it's a solution and not you're still the victim. And that will change a lot. That's a great way. So another thing is, have to versus get to. That's another reframing of the world. I have to drive my kids to school. I get to drive them to school. Another one is can't versus don't. So Nicole made fun of me. Not made fun. She made a joke.
Yeah.
She's like, hey, Andy, you want a drink at the fall workshop? I said, I don't drink right now. She's like, I love that. You don't drink right now? What has it been, like 10 years? I'm like, yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Don't is a choice. Can't is what somebody told me. Yes.
Yeah, I'm not allowed to.
So reframe those. But I think what you said is the culmination. Make a list of the things that you do. I mean, I love paying for the stuff we have. I can only do that if I work.
Yeah, but I love you. We get very hot summers, as you know. I mean, even compared to where you are, like it's fucking hot here. And my wife will say, yeah, cold is expensive. And my response is, yeah, but I have enough money to be cold.
Well,
right? Like, I'm not going to be hot. I get to have air conditioning because I can afford it, right? Like, you know,
money
is
the ultimate survival tool.
Yeah. And a lot of people get upset when you say that. Like, well, what are you going to do when it? Well, I don't know. I'll figure out that when that happens. But right now in the world we live in, money's important. People, remember the what was it, Boiler Room? People that say money's not important, let me tell you something about them. They don't fucking have any, right? Like, there is some truth to some of this stuff, right? That, like, and I also see, like, I'm not a huge fan of Dave Ramsey, but I like some things about him. And one of the things he says I agree with is people that win with money tend to win in life.
Yeah.
Now, I know somebody's going to say, well, I know this guy, and he's a CEO, and he's miserable, and he has no friends. Okay, are you him? No, then shut up.
Right.
He's not talking about that guy. That guy's not listening to AM radio on his commute to work and back to learn how to manage money. That guy's not worried about – he's talking about the average person. He's talking about people that don't look like millionaires but become the millionaire next door. People that can organize their finances tend to be able to organize their life, because organizing your finances is about delayed gratification. It's about a long time preference versus a short time preference. Eating right when you're 25 is about a long time preference. Because when you're 25, I don't know about you, when I was 25, I could fucking eat anything I want.
Yeah.
I could go and eat a box of fucking little Debbie Nutter Butters and then go to the gym and then work out and then go to the bar and then pound drinks and then get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, be at work at six, put in 10 fucking hours and go do it again.
Right.
And do it 7 days a week. If I did that right now, I would kill myself. I would literally die. Like, I would not be able to even come close to doing what I did back then. But the 20, and to be fair, I did that shit, right? Yeah. I didn't have – he also grew up in a world where nobody was fat. I didn't know this would happen to me, right? Like, it didn't make sense to me. Like, I'll never be fat. Look at me. Today, the 25-year-old can look at his parents and see where he's going.
Right.
And that person who says, I'm going to hit the gym – I'm going to work out, and I'm not going to hit the gym and work out so I can eat Little Debbie's. I'm going to hit the gym and so I can attract chicks, right? I'm going to hit the gym so that I'm healthy when I'm 50. That's a long time preference. That's the exact same discipline it takes to go, I'm putting 10% of my money in my 401k. It's the same mindset.
Yes. Dude, yes. I know this is not the financial podcast, but I'm going to tell you the advice you give out. Is what I mean, that's the same philosophy I follow. Watch your debt. Spend less. Guys, it works. The easy single plays, double hits. You don't have to hit a home run. This stuff works. The foodie stuff, the money stuff, having your own chicken stuff, some solar power, all of this lifestyle design, it actually weirdly works. Try some of it. If you're only listening, try something and get involved. But yeah. Yes to all.
I don't think you're going to get physically healthy and not financially healthy. And I'm not thinking you're going to get financially healthy and not get physically healthy. I really don't. I think you can end up with money.
Yes.
So there's going to end up with money and being financially healthy. What I mean by financially healthy is I don't just have a good retirement. I have a good life while I'm living my working years.
Right.
Financially, economically. Because there are people, they're fat, they're out of shape, they never have any money, but they did at least listen to the person that told them to put 10% in their 401k, and they've been doing that for 30 years. And when they retire, there's a bunch of money there. But they did, because it was so automated and because they started that way, it required no discipline. But if you actually make your life structured well in any aspect, I believe you will in time make your life structured well at all aspects.
Yeah. Yes. Organization breeds that. Yes.
I'm assuming.
Oh. My screen got shared again. Sorry about that.
I thought you wanted to. That's why I did it. I put it on.
No, I was trying to. Sorry. I'm doing like you. I'm trying to read some of Tom's comments. Yeah, there you go again.
Anyway, can you talk about maybe a little bit, you know, these five pillars of health, how they actually tie into a preparedness lifestyle? Because this is the survival podcast. And I think it's obvious, but it also needs to be said. I guess is the way to put it.
Yeah, I'm going to go short on this one because we're kind of long here. But
yeah,
I mean, you are a prep. If your spouse, think about a kids or whatever, are super out of health, whatever that's going to be for you, then you have to plan on that. Let them plan on you being a prep and not a, you know, a pro and not a con, whatever, right? So do the things you need to do to get yourself ready. You're going to listen and buy and homestead and all those things. Also take care of yourself. Maybe it's just stretching, but I think you guys get the point. If you can't do, then you're a liability.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be.
Yeah. I would say, you know, look at yourself and say, if you weren't you, if you were me or Andy and you needed somebody to help you in a grid down scenario and you needed to put a team together to do it, would you ask for you to go along?
Right.
And if you wouldn't ask for you to go along, then maybe you should fix that. I'm just saying, right? Like, because we all know, I like you. You're a good guy and all. But, like, if we're going to, like, strap on some shit and go out where it's dangerous and be gone for fucking a day and a half, and we're going to live on, like, two freaking hunks of biltong while we're out there, we're not taking you.
Right.
We're not. I'm not even being mean. We're just – like, I also wouldn't take a person into that environment if they were bound to a wheelchair. It doesn't mean I don't value them as a human, but unless you've got, like, the – what is that fucking Roku motorcycle version of a wheelchair? You're not coming, right? We're going through the swamps. They don't float, right? Like, you're not going to make it, and we might not make it because we're taking you along.
Yeah. So
it sounds harsh, but, man, you know what? Someday you might be in a situation where you're alone. And you, if you physically cannot adapt to the situation, and you're not going home.
I mean, you've got a scenario right now where it's really cold. And you said the other day, I went out for my morning walk and said, nah, not doing this. Turn that around. What if you needed to, like, hey, the toilets don't work. We need to shit in a hole. So I got to go dig in the frozen ground because we got
to
poop. Whatever, right?
I'll do it if I have to.
I mean, you probably don't. You know what I mean? I'm just being.
Yeah.
Can you do the things that you think you should do if you read and listen to Pepper Porn? Can you even do some of that? Simply said, now I'm not even saying it in grid down scenarios. It could just be homesteading. We've talked about before the difference between being fit and being capable. You can be capable to do things on your farm or your homestead, but you may not. That's a good one. But you may not be able to do it for very often. Like if your chores are short, but now they're going to be long, can you even maintain for those chores? So yeah, I think it's super valuable.
That was actually the place where I said it. With that picture. Then again, if you're not on the video, you don't get to see the picture.
That's
and it's
fun.
A picture of a cat, and everybody loves cats, but it won't help you. You have to see it to appreciate it.
That cat's
it.
Better than most cats.
And it's at like one hour, 45 minutes in, if you want to find the picture of the cat, right? But yeah, I completely agree with you. Do you have any advice you'd give listeners who just feel like overwhelmed about making changes to their health and their lifestyle, like this is just too much or whatever?
Yes, for sure. So one, you can listen to some podcasts, right? Just start accumulating those data points. Start small for easy wins. It's the whole, I think you and I have the same relationship with Dave Ramsey's advice, but I do love the debt snowball works. The reason why is it has wins, tiny wins built up. You take the smallest debt you have, you pay it off, and you keep rolling it forward. Mathematically, as an engineer, I want you to do the debt avalanche. Weirdly, it doesn't work. Most people don't finish it. So if the purpose of the system is to get you out of debt, then you need to do the – right. Anyway, my point is rack up some small wins. The 60 easy, that's what it's for. It's easy wins. So you can be like, I'm not such a loser. I'm not such a insert derogatory thing. Change your mindset, right? Stack up those wins. As you said earlier, announce it to an audience. You can announce it to Facebook, you know, Instagram, any of those channels.
Group, whatever, like some community.
Take someone along with you, a spouse, a kid. Join this community in the Carnivore Challenge. You're going along with people. Everything is – I know it's weird. It's just that everything's better when you're part of a team. It's true if you've got your people. So easy wins, stack them up, get some community, announce it somewhere so they hold you accountable. Those are probably the easiest things you can do.
Yeah. My big thing is like start. And I think the place most people need to start is their diet. And – it doesn't have to be what you and I recommend because you actually recommend more than me, right? Like, so there's levels and layers, but this is a common theme that I've actually had with friends and associates who are definitely in need of improving their health. I have some mental issues right now. And when I get those cleaned up, then I'll be able to attack my physical health. No, you are backwards.
Yeah.
I promise you, if you start to take control of your physical health, a lot of your mental fog, your mental cantism, all of it will begin to correct. Right. I look at all these drug commercials that I reel on all the time. And it's if you look at what gets advertised, lose weight, deal with depression, deal with digestive issues, UC Crohn's, et cetera, right, and lose weight, right? Those are the places that get advertised. And psoriasis, autoimmune diseases, those are your six. That's all the money that is spent on advertising and pushing drugs is those six things. Guess what fixes all those things? Physical
the
health.
The lion diet, carnivore, eating
more. Paleo, primal, something. Something. And you might find, like even Ken Berry says, you might find if you not net carbs, total carbs, cut it under 100 carbs a day and eat clean food, that everything just works for you. You might be like me. I look at a donut, I gain a pound.
That's
I don't eat the fucking thing, right? Like
I
look at a carbohydrate and weight goes. We don't know like this idea that we're all the same. I think we're all much more similar than we are different. But I do not believe there is no genetic differences in how our bodies process foods. And it could be genetic, and it could also be how bad did you fuck yourself up in your past? I know a dude big in the Bitcoin space. His I don't know his real name. His handle is Mandrick. I've followed him since like 2013. He's been carnivore for 7 years. He vastly improved his health. He was never as thin as he wanted to be. He still carried some extra weight. He's now eating carbs, clean carbohydrate diet. He took off his last 15 pounds. Am I going to tell him he's wrong? I'm not stupid. I'm a pretty smart guy. I'm not going to tell a person that got the result they were looking for. But here's what he said. He said, I think I fucked my metabolism up so bad. It took healing at first to be able to reintegrate what I needed. So he's not eating he's not a vegan. He's just, he's eating high quality carbs along with meats.
Right.
He's actually eating the way that most nutritionists, if they left out the bagels and the fucking orange juice and shit, would tell you to eat.
Right.
And he's doing very, very well from it. I actually told Ken you should talk to him. I don't know if he will. I'm like, anomalies should be investigated.
Right?
Right?
So that is true. And don't – you may know the anomaly. I mean, the whole movie, Glassman, the guy that he was like the ultimate unbreakable. And then you had
He was in some superhero movie,
Yeah, so he was like unbreakable, and the other guy was breakable.
Yeah.
People exist that fall outside the norms, and I definitely agree they should investigate them. If the human body can exist with multiple blood types, obviously we're made differently. Yeah, blood works the same, but it doesn't work the same. So it's a most thing. Most of the time, most of the people can mostly do it this way. That's it.
Yeah. Tell people how they can learn more about you.
Okay. Hey guys, one, just listen to the Thursday show. You're going to hear me here. Actually, have some interesting things going to Jack. He can delete them if he doesn't want to use them, but there's some AI junk I did for you. Okay. And, if you want to listen to any of my podcasts, it's, Food, Fitness, and Finance. And then on YouTube, it's at Andy McCann 42. Those are probably the easiest ways. If you want to do any of the gym stuff, it's CrossFitGarage.com. My personal information is on my website. Go find it. Call me, text me, whatever. I don't care. Once you do stuff like this, especially Jack, you kind of lose anonymity. So whatever, call me. I'm happy to help. Yeah, guys, that's my biggest thing is help first. What can I do for you? I'm in this backside of life. My kids are off in college. My last one driving herself. She doesn't want to be around dad. So, hey, y'all, my new family. How can I help?
Awesome. Awesome. And I just checked over here. I do from your guest form have a shitload of resources.
That's true. Yes.
I wanted to make sure they were there before I told you to email me everything and redo it. So I've got all kinds of shit for you here that I'll make sure in the show notes for people. Let's take we got a couple of questions, just two. Let's go ahead and hit those and then we'll bail. American Legend says, how much protein is optimal for an average 40-year-old consuming roughly 2,200 calories a day?
So unfortunately it depends, right? What's your goal with the protein? Some people say it's 0.7 grams per pound of body weight you want to be. Some people say it's 1 gram. After eating the way I'm eating, I don't think there is an inappropriate number. So if you want to go ham, pun intended, on the protein, I mean, eat that stuff. Literally all of my calories are fat or protein. And I'm eating I'm probably eating about 3,000 calories a day. And I'm still about 160 pounds. So there isn't a bad number now. If you're mixing it with sugars and carbs and all that, it can get
it every night.
But that's, so you want to eat, if you're trying to gain muscle, you're going to eat more protein more often. So that's going to be about 0.7 or 1 gram per pound of body weight you want to be.
Yeah. And I'd say even if you're losing weight, but what's your target muscular weight?
That's yes.
Same calculation in the other direction.
100%.
And then – what is your favorite way to log food?
Oh, man. There is no favorite way. It's a pain in the ass.
I don't do it.
I
will say I did it
when
I was taking weight off, and I used an app called Keto.app.
There you go.
And it was great because if you were eating anything that came in a package, you could literally scan the barcode, and it knew. And it would. And I did that mainly. I did it to track calories. I want to hit on that a little bit before we finish completely. But I did it to track calories and carbs, and I really didn't worry about anything else other than making sure I was getting enough fat and getting enough water. Those were the two things that I did. But I do want to hit on this thing about this calories doesn't matter shit that Ken's always talking about. I say bullshit. And the reason I say bullshit is I think it can be true, but it's not necessarily true. So I go back way back with this. Like, I wasn't doing it when I knew I should. And one of the people I worked with a long time ago as a marketer was a guy named Greg Ellis. He was a doctor, PhD, and an MD. And he was one of the first people to come out with this idea that you should be eating very, very low carb and eating lots of fat. And he wrote a book called The Glycation Factor. And when I understood glycation, that's where I really was like, fuck, I don't want that. It's like permanent plaques in your body.
Right.
From eating too many carbs. And but he said he got onto this when he was a linebacker playing college football. And he was told he could eat all the meat he wanted. Well, he did. And guess what? Eventually, that started to put weight on him.
Yeah.
He was eating like three T-bones, like you and I might eat three pork chops. Like he was just – but you told the guy – that has this predisposition, eat all you want. So he did. And he said, no, you can't. There is a point at which you are taking in too much because you've put in, let's say, 8,000 calories. If you're not burning them, you can only shit so many out. Your body's going to do something with it. And then, so then Ken comes out with a video like 2 weeks ago about how dairy can throw you off your goals because the casein in it is addictive because it's designed to make babies eat a lot. And so then you can overeat your satiety. What, is that not this to you? Seriously, is, and I don't mean to start a council war here, but is that not the same thing as eating too much? What the fuck is it if it's not too many calories?
I don't know. I show this right here. I'm going to show you guys what too many calories are.
All right.
So, hey, he's a doctor. I'm an unfrozen caveman lawyer. So trust him. Don't trust me.
Yeah.
But this is what I was using my net diary with Evan. And I tracked because he was not gaining weight.
Okay.
And so this is why I say track. He's like, Dad, I eat what you eat. I'm like, great, come home, let's track it together.
Yeah.
He ate like 1,700 calories. I ate this. It's 4,441 calories. My breakfast was 1,500. Lunch is 1,400. My dinner is 1,500. This is all eggs, beef, and steak. Because when we started this, there was no cheese.
Okay.
Actually, it might have been some cheese. I got a carb in there. The carbs come from the cheese. It's like 4 grams of carbs. Yes, I did this. I did it for a very long time. I ate this way for about 4 months, and then eventually it stopped working, and I started going back up in weight.
Yeah, yeah, because you will, right?
Yeah.
I think part of what does it, like if you're strict, and especially if you go to like TMAD or OMAD, you're probably not going to overeat. You were eating three meals. If you were eating two meals when you were doing that, there's no way you would have got up to that calorie count.
I was hungry, though. That's the thing.
Okay.
I was like, I'm starving.
Yeah.
I got to eat.
Yeah, yeah.
I ate until I was full, and they were right for a while. But the earlier question is how many grams of protein? Right there is 400 grams of protein.
Okay, that's probably more than you need. You don't want to be 400 pounds.
No, right. That's all I'm eating. I don't have any. I'm very strict. I am weird like that.
Yeah, what were you – let's pull that back up. What were you eating for fat grams, though? Do you even know? Was it trash?
Yeah, it's right there. It's 304 grams of fat.
Okay, that's a lot of fat too, right?
Well, it's eggs, beef, butter – cheese and strips.
Yeah. Here's where this myth becomes fact in the mind of the person saying it. Most people won't eat what you just ate there.
Oh,
if you tell them you can eat all the eggs, beef, butter, and eggs you want, they will do it. They'll never get where you were. They'll never eat that much.
Right. And this is why I have to shade my advice off of who I am. I expect for a very long time in my life, people who just do the things that I do, it's not true. My son does it. He's genetically some of me, so he can do – this is why I make 60 easy. Make it an easy way, stack some wins.
Yeah.
Don't do it the way I did it, but I did it because I wanted to see – give my son somebody else to go with him so we have two data points to make a line and we can compare and contrast. If you're trying to cure something – Evan did it because he tried to cure something. Do that, but it works.
Yeah.
Anecdotally.
Yeah. Now, what I'm saying, too, is not even about you. It's that most people, if you put them in this – you give them just a carnivore diet and you say eat till you're full, and they do, they're not going to come in at 4,000, 5,000 calories. They're just going to get full is what I'm saying.
Right.
And some people won't. Or some people will initially, but they'll adapt to where they can eat more. And I think that, like, it is important, in my opinion, not necessarily count calories, but keep an eye on it and then say, does this – logically track with my goals. So I'm not saying like we need to be sitting here, I'm 3 calories over today. That I'm bullshit on. But like if you're overeating by 1500 calories a day, what you need, eventually I believe, I don't care what it is, it will catch up with you.
Right.
All right, well, we're about ready to go, but I gotta do something for you since you sent me this. So I got a really great gift, guys, and I'm still not going to tell the audio people. It was on the show yesterday, and this is like a legit actual what it is. And if you see it, you know what it is, and if you don't, you don't get to know. You got to come find the video and see it, but You know, it's not one that came from Spencer's Gift and rattles around in the handle or something. And it's sharp. That might give you guys on the audio a clue. But thank you for this, Andy. I really
appreciate it. Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for doing what you do. Guys, when the zombies keep coming and the bullets are ending, go to Jack's house. He can help you.
I can help you. I know how to use it.
Right there.
I told you. Like, well, I'm not going to say what I studied as a teenager because then people will know what it is and they won't come to the video, right? Eventually, I'll tell people what it is. But if you want to know, you got to come see the video. Anyway, Andy, thanks for being with us today, man.
Yep. Take care.
All right, folks, real quick before we wrap up, I want to remind you guys you can help support the show by doing your online shopping starting at tspaz.com. Today's item of the day is not carnivore, but it certainly is keto if you use it right. It is a chili powder blend made by a company called Frontier Organics. And I have recommended a lot of product from Frontier over the years. So when I needed to get some new chili powder recently, I was like, I'm going to check in to what they have to offer. When I dug into it, they had two ingredients in it that I'm like, wow, they know to do that, because you will not find those ingredients in most chili powder. I use those two ingredients when I make my own from scratch, and I also use two more. In the write-up, I tell you what the two ingredients are, and I tell you what the two ingredients that are my own are, and I tell you how to make chili. But I will also tell you that good chili powder is a great thing to have in the kitchen. I use it when I make chicken. I use it when I make roast pork. I use it in a lot of things. Check this stuff out. It is absolutely freaking fantastic. You want to give this stuff a shot. Again, Frontier Organics, organic chili powder. It's on the website, thesurvivalpodcast.com. Scroll down from today's episode, one more post, and you'll find it and check it out. And again, I tell you how to, I don't give you a recipe because I don't cook with recipes. I tell you how I make my chili, and it is damn good, and it will fit with what we talked about today. Next up, real quick, I want to let you guys also know that Nick Ferguson has a sale again at Rare Plant Store. And I know a lot of you guys have bought trees and plants from Nick over the years. And mostly what he has had has been fodder trees and a few other things. And so I think that his sales have slowly declined over the years because you only need so many poplars, you only need so many willow trees, et cetera. And once you learn that, like, willow and poplar specifically, you can cut a piece and stick it in the ground and it grows, well, you know, you kind of wear out the same audience with the same product. He has a ton of stuff this year. Three different varieties of bush cherries. He's got northern and southern blueberries. He's got grapes. He's got tons of stuff. He's got trees that are specifically designed if you're raising your own livestock to help feed them. And I don't mean fodder. Check this out again, rareplantstore.com. Every year, sooner or later, he sells out. I think with all the varieties added this year, especially some of the new stuff, he's going to sell out really fast this year. So I would get over there and check it out right now. Again, rareplantstore.com. With that, hope you enjoyed today's show. Again, first real, full, normal live stream of the year that I was running anyway, because Nicole ran yesterday's show for me. I will be back tomorrow, expert counsel Q&A, because it's Wednesday already. Wow. And then Friday flashbacks. We're back and we're at it. We're back and on the attack. I want to share a little thing with you, though, real quick about the weather. I'm kind of disappointed. I don't like snow. There's a reason I left Pennsylvania. It's beautiful until it's not, and it fucks shit up, and shit breaks, and fixing broken shit in the cold sucks. Fixing broken shit in the cold with ice and snow and wet on it is worse. But there is something I enjoy about snow. If it's not going to be that bad for me, and it won't be this year, we're kind of bulletproofed on the farm right now. I like to wake up the morning it snows, and I like to turn the TV on to the local news channel about the only time I watch it, make a steaming cup of coffee, sit down on the couch, and watch Demolition Dummies. That's what I call it. It's a reality TV show. People think they can drive in the snow, and they can't. People have four-wheel drive or all-wheel drive, and they think they can drive in the snow, and they can't. And people wreck everywhere. And down here, they set up cameras to film the people that do that. We had a forecast starting tomorrow. We were supposed to get 5 to 8 inches of snow. That is snowpocalypse for Dallas-Fort Worth. They just adapted it down to like 1 to 3 inches with mixed rain. So it's all going to fucking melt. It's not going to stick on the roads, and I don't get to see Demolition Dummies. If you live somewhere in the South and you're still going to get the snow, I encourage you, enjoy your Friday morning. Take off work. Don't go in. Tell them you can't. It's going to snow. And set up and watch the best reality TV show ever, Demolition Dummies. With that, I'll catch you tomorrow with another episode.
They said you should have a house the American way. A dollar down, a dollar a month, and you never have.